Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
What up, you hosers, and welcome to another episode of Balls Deep Sports, your premium podcast for the Black Outkast Premium Network. Today, like every other show that we've done, I want to say we're over 35 of these now, Justin. Justin is here as my co-host. What's going on, Jay?
What's up, man? I just want to let everybody know that we the greatest podcast out here. Don't you ever put any of these other mediocre podcasts up against us. The Black Guy Who Tips, always, we the best out here. And I'm not going to retract this statement and apologize next week.
Whoa, I'm scared. Hold on. You can't be saying stuff like that in front of me. Who was talking about you?
Well, basically, you know, some other mediocre podcast out here. I'm not going to say their names. Cause I know you friends, you know, it's the Chitlin Circuit, all those things like that.
Mediocre at best, by the way.
But right, at best, they mediocre. But I'm not going to talk about them, but just don't be comparing them to us, cause we go balls deep. None of them go balls deep.
Well, let me ask you, hold on, what we got to, okay, well, back to you. We actually have a guest here who, knows what he's talking about, and which is not usual, not par for the course, as you guys will experience, we prefer to just go completely, off the cuff and, random, but we went and got somebody that actually, you know, knows a thing or two, longtime friend of the Blackout Tips podcast, original founding member of, All Balls Don't Bounce podcast, which I believe just wrapped up this week, right?
Yeah, we had the farewell episode this week.
Yep. Totally missed it.
Yes, indeed.
Meant to call.
It's okay.
Meant to call
it's
in.
It's okay because Charmaine was there and I got to talk with my South London accent, so it worked out.
Yeah, I meant to call in. Forgot to set my alarm. That's my fault. But, okay. But, they, you know, that's now defunct, but, not forgotten. They are also a writer for the, Toronto Star, business section. That's right. He's a businessman. So you can find them there, at the star.com/business/sportsonomics. It's Morgan P. Campbell, where the P stands for, pugilistic prognosticator, because we definitely brought him in, because we don't know shit about boxing.
Don't worry, because Floyd Mayweather's Uncle Roger says that's a common problem. Even within the boxing world, people don't know shit about boxing. So it's okay.
And we also don't know shit about baseball, but we'll be asking him about some of the Hall of Fame antics that went on the last couple weeks. First, before we even do that, Morgan P. Campbell, where you can find him on Twitter and Instagram, just Morgan P. Campbell, all one word. Can you tell us what Sportonomics is, man, and what exactly is going on with that?
Yeah, so what had happened was, a couple years back, you know, I've been writing in the sports department at the Star for a while, got a new boss. They had different, you know, a different vision for what I should be doing, than I did. Yeah, it happens. So I just wound up in the business department. That was what they wanted. So, you know, when I landed in the business department, I had to figure out something to do in the business department because all the other beats, you know, were taken. You know, in a lot of stuff, I don't have an economics background at all. And I didn't want to embarrass myself and insult readers by trying to sound like an expert on stuff that I'm clearly not an expert on. That's a very quick way to lose readers. And that's one of the things that newspapers in general, you know, it's a big obstacle they deal with right now is that, you know, in the internet era, all these different people have all this specialized knowledge and it's tough for, a general publication to like a newspaper to really speak to those people. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to be one more person, treating our audience like an idiot. So, you know, so I went to the business editor at the time. Her name was Irene Gentle. I said, hey, why don't you let me explore, you know, the industry that I do know a lot about, which is the sports industry. So she said, cool, do it. See what you come up with. So from there, this is probably about 2 years ago, just steadily I got to do more and more. And at the same time, you know, there were some changes on the digital side at the Star, and they started emphasizing videos again. Because I used to do videos at the Star 3-4 years ago, but, you know, again, management, there was people in management that didn't see the value in doing videos, so they made me stop. Yeah, exactly. So fast forward 4 years and then, you know, people figure out that you can actually make money off of videos because if you have a video, unlike a story, a print story on the internet, if I put a pop-up ad in front of this story, print story, first thing you're going to do is close the pop-up ad because you don't want to see the pop-up ad. Mm-hmm. But if I have a video, I can put a pre-roll ad, right? That's, as long as it's not too long, as long as the ad isn't too long, you'll sit through 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. So now they're starting to figure out that this makes money. So there's all this emphasis now on putting out high-quality video. So that I was able to, again, merge these two projects, covering sports business with a weekly video series, went and made the proposal to do Sportonomics. They loved it. So that's what we've been doing. Our first episode, we filmed the trailer in October, started publishing in November. So every Monday at thestar.com/business/Sportonomics, we have a new video detailing a different part of the sports industry. And like, you know, the stuff from week to week, the stuff we cover isn't necessarily related. Like, two weeks ago, we were, with a husband-wife team that opened like this specialty running shop. That was 2 weeks ago. This week on Monday, it is a chicken wing eating showdown between myself and a guy named Furious Pete. Furious Pete, who is like a champion eater. He's a competitive eater. So we sit here, we eat these chicken wings, we figure out which is the best between a franchise, a local place, and homemade. We also talk a little bit about the economics of eating competitions and how he's been able to monetize his YouTube presence. This is all, you know, in a 5-minute video in which, and I'm still recovering because it's been a long time since I've eaten that many wings, man. I feel like I've been beat up, like on a cellular level from the inside out.
But who won the competition?
This is what we're doing.
Well, obviously, Morgan had to.
He ate more wings than I did.
Okay.
In terms of the taste test. Which of the three wings? One, well, if I told you that now, you wouldn't have to watch it on.
Yeah, yeah.
Monday.
I don't want you to spoil. Watch on Monday. Yeah, don't spoil that.
Along with the pre-roll, yes, along with the pre-roll ads that pay my bills. So
right,
that's what we're doing.
Exactly. So you guys make sure you go to thestar.com/business/Sportonomics. Help this man. Keep his business going. Also, ladies, Morgan's very photogenic. Very photogenic. Guy works out like a monster, man. You guys should all be, you know, he's one of those dudes that works out and he's not a douchebag about it. No shirts off in the avatars, no health tips every morning on the timeline on Facebook. I don't wake up and see a whole bunch of like, get moving, get active. It's 2 a.m. Why aren't you working? So, we should support people like this.
Yeah, I assure you guys, you will never, ever, ever see me use the gym flow hashtag.
This is not really related, but I had this idea, and I actually took all the pictures for it. I just never posted it. But I was going to, start a new trend. Instead of flow, FLOW, I was going to use FLO'. And it was going to be my feet in a bunch of places. So it was like shower flow. There's a picture of my feet in the shower, car flow, gym flow. There's a piece of my feet on the treadmill. I dropped it after about like 8 pictures. It was like, this might not be catch on too much, but, all right, man, we can't start the show without playing the song, Justin. So let's play the song.
Let's do it.
How, Dave?
You know how when I go in the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That, Dave?
That's right, Dave.
I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep.
I'm talking about
drop traits. Give a pound into her feelings. Make her south mouth salivate. Hey Tyra, are you listening? We're not talking just the tipping. Thank you, Scotty Pippen.
No problem, just here dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much as they do today.
Sorry to hear that.
Where was I?
We're talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep. My boy's talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love.
At this point, we are responsible for at least 1,000 plays on this fucking YouTube video. But all right, man. Before we move on, I do have to ask also, Morgan, what's going on at buymorgancampbell.com, man? What's the latest thing you're writing about?
I don't know. I was gonna update it at some point this weekend and actually talk a little bit about Lolo Jones. And her selection to the U.S. bobsled team. I thought about writing about Richard Sherman. We might have to talk about Richard Sherman today.
Oh, we will.
I planned, but I was just thinking that, and I tweeted it yesterday, that I have here's my take on Richard Sherman fatigue. Like, mm-hmm. if one more person tells me that I got to hear their take on Richard Sherman that sounds like all the other 8,000 takes I've heard on Richard Sherman, I'm just going to throw up. But yeah. I'll probably write about Lolo this weekend. I can't remember what the last entry was. It might have been an all balls don't bounce one, or it might have been something else. It's been over a week since I updated.
Yeah, that was the last thing I remember getting an email about, was the all balls don't bounce comeback, and also the all balls don't bounce finale. So all in one. But
grand opening, grand closing.
Well, Morgan, yes. Anytime you write about a woman that as attractive as she is, that's a good article.
Lolo Jones is also crazy though. So there's that. She's also a crazy person.
Well, I'm mainly referring to the picture that you'll have to decide to use to potentially go along with the article.
Yeah, she's pretty if you're into that, but she's crazy. And, you know, me and crazy don't do too well. Like, that is one surefire way to get complete turn off.
In her defense, she's really toned down the social media thirst. You know, that kind of defined the first half of 2012 for her. She, as far as I know, you know, I don't follow her on Twitter or anything, but as far as I know, she's not out there advertising anymore like she used to. So
she's one of those people I don't trust because she's been a virgin too long. You know, like, I don't really have those type of Judeo-Christian values anyway, but when people are touting like, look, man, I'm attractive, I'm damn near 30 and I'm never letting anyone hit this. It's like, you crazy too. Like, that's like, that's just, that's crazier than, you know, the average porn star to me. That, like, that something's wrong with you at this point. So yeah, she's crazy.
I think she's waiting for that one guy to just be, not necessarily marriage,
to go crazy on,
but to just be like, look, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm not taking no for an answer.
No,
I like you.
And I want you. I feel like she's saving up all that stalker psycho stuff for that first dude. So, what did Dave Chappelle say? You never want to be the first brother to do anything. I definitely don't want to be the first brother to deal with her.
With all due respect, obviously, no disrespect to you, Lolo.
Yeah,
but
obviously,
it seemed like too is false advertising in the aspect of, she doesn't know what she's doing, so you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. You have to be an insecure dude for that to be the thing that attracts you to people. It's like, she's 30 and nobody's ever tapped that. Like, what? No, give me somebody that know what they doing. Put it on me. Fuck that.
Right. That's right. So have me leaving out the room like, whoa.
Yeah, I wanna look at her and be like, where'd you learn that?
Yep.
Matter of fact, don't tell me. That's what I wanna think.
Have me curled up sucking my thumb afterward.
Yeah. Who's the dude that wants to be like, yeah, man, she looks so good that you can tell she don't know what she doing? What? Anyway, speaking of people that don't know what they're doing.
Hey, you guys talk about that. My expertise is the overlap of sports and business.
Let's get to the sports and business right quick. Speaking of people that don't know what they're doing, Tom Brady looked terrible without knowing the other team's plays, as I predicted. Tom Brady and the Patriots lost 26-16 to the Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning, of course, held it down like we predicted he would, because he's a G like that. He's been balling all season, and it was no surprise that they would put it on the Patriots when the Patriots didn't know the other team's plays. Not to mention, people keep glossing over it. In addition to the injuries, you know, in addition even to the one thing no one talks about, Aaron Hernandez going to jail.
Hey, Ron.
It's like we stopped talking about that. Like, that's not a major player on that team. Okay, fine. This team was also young. Like, this is the first time for most of them even going to the playoffs. And they look like a young team. What did you think about it, Justin? And then we'll go to Morgan.
I was disappointed. And mainly because I just knew Belichick knew the other team's plays, and I was disappointed he didn't do his research. So to me, this is he's slipping as a coach. And I think ownership has to address the fact that what are they going to do if they don't have a coach that can't win without knowing the other team's plays?
Are you sure that they knew the other team plays this year?
I think for the previous other games, they did for teams outside of their conference. Mm-hmm. We know teams inside their conference, they don't have to know their plays.
Because you know Peyton Manning only started saying Omaha like a week ago. So maybe that was the thing, was he just started calling Omaha a lot, and Omaha just doesn't mean anything. And it fucked up the whole Patriots thing.
I am about 99% certain that Omaha doesn't mean a damn thing.
Me too.
Because they say it too much.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
Omaha is just one more of the decoy syllables in the signals they call. But I think I don't know that Belichick has fallen off as a coach, but I'm interested to see at what point he turns into like this Dusty Baker of NFL coaches, where Dusty, you know, makes the playoffs every year but never wins the World Series. And for that, for this consistent success, Dusty gets a pink slip, right? Mm-hmm. Belichick has the Super Bowls on his resume, but you guys are absolutely right. They haven't won a Super Bowl since they were outed as cheaters and spies. And again, how they escaped serious consequences for that, I will never understand. But yeah, you haven't seen the Patriots win a Super Bowl since, you know, they've had to start playing by the same rules as everybody else. And at what point does Patriots ownership say, hey, look, Belichick, you get us to the playoffs every year, that's great, but we don't pay you to get us to the playoffs. We pay you to get us Super Bowl trophies, take a hike. I don't know at what point that happens, but, you know, a couple more playoff runs that end before the Super Bowl, you do have to start to wonder.
Yeah, and what point does Tom Brady become a victim of the Patriot way? Getting rid of a guy a year too early instead of a year too late. He's already like taking less money on his contract before, made some compromises.
Right.
But at some point you have to figure there's a shelf life on every NFL player. And if the Patriots yes. are going to treat him the same way they treat everybody else, Tom Brady's got to be on the market in the next couple years, and what do you do after that?
Or even before then, because Tom Brady's not a young guy, right? Tom Brady's right. How old? 36?
Something like that.
He might be like 33.
I'm surprised it hasn't happened already if they were going to do that.
He's 36. Yeah, 36.
He had a terrible passing year. Terrible. Mm-hmm. And I think as quarterback, sometimes you might have a year, an off year. But this... when you have a terrible passing year, and if that compounds into next year, along with, you know, you don't have healthy receivers that actually can catch the ball consistently, and your coach can't really, the defense isn't there for the Patriots, hasn't been for a few years. So it makes him look like a loser when actually he could play like Brett Favre and go into his late 40s.
His late 40s.
I think Brett Favre lies about
yeah,
his age.
I think Brett.
Have you ever seen his face? His face says he's 50. I don't care what you say.
That's a good point. Go ahead, Morgan.
No disrespect.
Yeah, no, obviously, all due respect.
You know how, man, do you know how happy Brett Favre was the year that they integrated the University of Southern Mississippi and he got to throw the black eyes for the first time? 1964, I think it was.
Yeah, I think his first completion was thrown to Joey Galloway.
Yep. Right after the Civil War, exactly. We can play together now. well, the other thing I have fatigue of, and I'm sure we'll get to this more if we wind up talking about the other side of the Super Bowl matchup, is I have legacy fatigue. The second I see a quarterback's name and the word legacy in a headline, I click away. Because now I think people were talking about, well, is Brady's legacy ruined because he didn't make the Super Bowl this year? And I'm like, well, why would it be? Is Peyton's legacy ruined if he only has one Super Bowl win? Why would it be?
Right.
Why would it be? How many passing yards do you have? Are any of you as good at your jobs as these guys are at theirs?
Yeah.
No. No. I'm a very good sports writer. I don't write sports as well as Peyton Manning plays quarterback. So I'm not going to sit here and say this guy who just broke all these records at 37 years old with a surgically reconstructed neck is somehow a failure, or right, or has an incomplete legacy because he didn't win the Super Bowl. He only reached the Super Bowl this year. He didn't win the Super Bowl. Well, at Thanksgiving, what a disappointment you are, Peyton Manning.
At Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner, he is mediocre when Eli walks in the room with those two rings, though.
Yeah, did you hear the story? I'm not covering it, but did you hear that Eli Manning was like, I'm going to talk to Peyton and give him some tips on how to play in the cold seat?
Yes.
That's, as a big brother, that's the kind of shit that makes you need that second Super Bowl ring. Fuck the media, fuck the press, fuck the Hall of Fame. My little brother ain't going to be talking about some, I'm going to give you some tips. When I'm superior, I am superior to you. I am a better quarterback than you and your wild card lucky ass Super Bowls. And you're talking down to me? If I was Peyton Manning, I'd be so high.
He need three rings, actually. Cause just one more right. actually ties him. And Eli was like, so we the same then. I still have the opportunity to win more.
No, well, but if we're playing that game, then Peyton would have the two rings plus a whole body of work.
Right.
That would put him ahead of Eli.
Yeah, he only technically needs two.
I'm just,
I agree.
Yeah, yo, we could play that game of and the other stats along with the Super
Bowl. That's true. You're right.
But in family, when it comes at that dinner table, and you pull out your ring, and I pull out my ring, you can pull out any other trophy, and I'll be like, yo, but they're not championships. They don't matter.
Eli gonna pull that move where he like spins it to make it seem like, oh, nah, we both got to. It's like, nah, man, I'm better than you at everything. I'm better than you statistically at every category you want to count. But you're right. That third one, now you don't even have that discussion. Yep. It's like, I got three rings. You only got two. What are you talking about?
Because even with all those stats and all those trophies, you can say, yeah, but did you get a Super Bowl ring behind those stats?
Right.
Yeah. No, you still only have one? Oh, we're still equal? Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, Peyton got to get three.
And look how long – and is Eli, the only thing he can always win is he'll always be able to say, I won mine sooner.
Right.
Then you won yours.
And their dad can't pick a side because he never won shit. So, like, he can't even be on some, like, listen, sons.
Yeah.
Like, they both like, shut up, dad. They probably call him by his first name and shit.
he stopped being able to carve the turkey when they got their first check because they both made more than him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, all right. Well, as to amend something that you said earlier, because I don't want nobody writing me about this, Tom Brady did not have a terrible passing year. But he had a down year for Tom Brady.
Nah, he did. I don't know if you saw the way those passes looked.
You're going completely by the eye test.
Man, he used to throw spirals downfield. Now he's throwing ducks. They open for any and
well,
everybody.
You know what? I can't argue the eye test. But I just statistically, nobody write us. I recognize that he was the sixth best QBR in the league last year. Okay, guys, no one write me.
Well, what about the running game? When will Belichick be held accountable for just now figuring out the week before that he should probably run the ball more?
You know what? It's the thing with Belichick that is kind of unfair to me. And it's one of those things where he's been good so long that he's kind of become like Popovich. Like, they give him credit for shit that to me seems like he should have been doing all year long. Like, why is it taking so long to get LeGarrette Blount the ball?
Right.
I knew LeGarrette Blount was the best running back on that team the second he got on that team because I remember LeGarrette Blount when he was in Tampa Bay. And the only reason that he wasn't given the starting job in Tampa Bay is because they drafted somebody that they thought was better than him. Surprise, surprise, Tampa Bay didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. So I would think that, you know, LeGarrette Blount, the same way Talib, they got him from the Bucks also. But one of the best players on that roster, he doesn't figure that out till like week 16 of the season. And everybody's like, that damn Belichick's a genius, man.
In Bill Belichick's defense.
Yes.
The team has one good running back and not several. You don't want to run that running back a lot. You don't want to run him more than you have to when you're built not for 16 games but for 20 or whatever the regular season plus the playoffs is. So in his defense, he might have been trying to just limit the carries on Blount, knowing that he was going to use him more in the playoff run because it's not like they had, you know, a really good backup. They had Blount.
That is a valid defense. I think that's a valid defense.
Pardon me?
I think that's a valid defense, except for as a fantasy football player, he just did not commit to anybody really. And he kept trying to give Ridley the starting job back. And Ridley's a fumbler. So it was just, I don't know, man. I feel like
when the drop off in talent is that stark, like that's what you have. You do have to, on the, if you can win without really putting a lot of miles on your primary runner, then that's what you do.
See, it made me think about it.
What I don't know is if this was, I was going to say, I don't know if this was Belichick being extra shrewd or if this was just something that happened.
He's consistently not ran the ball, and he's had several good running backs over the years.
Yeah, more importantly, I'm telling you, it falls into the whole, like, since we've crowned him a genius already, whatever good happened, he's going to get credit for it. Like, no one's going to say why did it take so long. They're going to go, see, this is why he's so good. Like, it wouldn't have mattered if he literally would have said, shit, man, I forgot LeGarrette Blount was on the team. People still be like, yo, man, he a genius, bro. He's so good. He forgot dude was even on the team.
LeGarrette should have made himself known.
Right. Yeah.
They've been playing LeGarrette.
This is the dude that thought it was smart to get rid of Wes Welker. So, you know, this, and Wes Welker has been more productive than any of the wide receivers they have on the roster right now. And he still holds a grudge against that dude. And instead of us calling it petty,
It's absolutely petty. But yeah, but you can get away with these things when you're Belichick. Also, Belichick, you know, has his rules of thumb, basically, and he believes in these rules. He's like the guy that won't hit on 17 no matter what. So you're a receiver playing for Belichick. If you're anybody other than Tom Brady playing for Belichick, once you hit 30 years of age or whatever it is, like, look, you gotta go.
Yep. You gotta go. And it's funny because it's the same thing with Popovich in the NBA. That dude made one of the biggest coaching mistakes of the year last year, telling Steven Jackson to go home and probably cost him the championship. Nobody's ever going to talk about that shit, man, because he's Popovich. He's meant it already, so there's nothing to say. But anyway, I'm glad to see that genius go home to Peyton Manning in the playoffs and another year that the Patriots will not win the Super Bowl. Let's talk about the real matchup, guys, the one that we all care about. Black on black violence in the NFC. The Seahawks played against the 49ers. Black quarterbacks were on display, African-American greatness for the whole world to see and judge and be petrified about. And it all ended up taking a back seat to the Richard Sherman show. But let's try to talk about the game, if you will. It's kind of odd, man. Combined, both quarterbacks only threw the ball 49 times. You know, this reminds me of that. Is this the new NFL prototype quarterback that we're seeing?
That's what happens when they let you people in the championship game.
Yeah, we was throwing that.
Property values go down.
Right, a Waffle House moved in at halftime. this is a good game, man. Very physical. But I think got lost in the shuffle between, like, there's some good defenses and stuff on the field. A lot of unforced errors, man. And if Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick would have played that badly against a team with a better offense, I think, you know, it would have been more crucial. But both teams kept, like, fumbling snaps, throwing picks that just, like, those who are you looking at type picks where you just like, what happened now? especially Kaepernick in the fourth. But it was a really good game, man. I was surprised how easily Marshawn Lynch ran on those dudes, because that was supposed to be, you know, the 49ers bread and butter. We're going to stop this run and make Russell Wilson pass the ball to beat us. And they really weren't able to do that, man. Marshawn Lynch, 22 attempts, 109 yards, touchdown. I mean, he ran through them like he runs through everybody else. And I think that was the difference in this game.
Yeah, go ahead, Morgan. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, well, you know, heading into that game, you had to, you know, that was one of the big matchup, right, was Marshawn Lynch versus this linebacking core that San Francisco has. And, you know, and early on, they were stuffing the run. But this is... You know, in a lot of ways, this particular game was no different from any other game, right? It's the game of adjustments, and, you know, credit to San Francisco, not just to Wilson and to Lynch, but their offensive coordinator for figuring out how to get these guys blocked. To give Lynch, some running room, you know, and no matter what all the other stuff is going on around the game, whatever subplots you have to you feel like attaching to it, whether it's the, is this the new era of black quarterbacking subplot, or the, is this the hip hop quarterback versus the church quarterback? All these subplots, okay, that's fine. But in the end, it's about scouting and adjusting on the fly and getting people blocked and getting, giving your ball carriers, you know, room to do what it is they do. And that's what Seattle was able to do that San Francisco wasn't able to do as successfully.
Yeah. It felt also like they tried, San Francisco couldn't run the ball, all day. I think Frank Gore only had 14 yards, but Kaepernick was able to run the ball, up to the tune of 130 yards, but that type of rushing is just not the same as a running back's, like, pace-making running ability. When your quarterback is gashing yards like that, it's almost more tiring as an offense, because you don't, it's desperation yards. It's, you know, breaking out of the pocket here and there to keep a drive going, but it's not consistent. And I thought that was like a big tell in this game, because on the other end, you end up with Russell Wilson only rushing the ball 5 times for no yards. Because he wasn't, you know, they weren't so desperate that they needed him to get that 100 yards.
Yeah. You know, the other thing about when a quarterback rushes is that he's not hitting the opposing defenders with his head and lowering his shoulder, those type of things. He's getting hit. And when a running back is doing that, you know, he's punishing them the same way they're punishing him, not to the same extent. 'Cause, you know, a running back gets hit multiple times by multiple people, but it just wears you down that by that fourth quarter, and Seattle stuck with the run throughout the game. They never panicked. They never looked like, oh, we need to score. We need to just pass. They just kept running the ball. And
the offensive line is wearing them down, because the offensive line is run blocking on those plays, because it's designed runs. When a quarterback breaks through, man, that's not a design typically. So it's not like they were like, oh, we're going to hit them in the mouth. It's like, oh shit, here they come, run! You know, it's a completely different mindset, and I think, that tells you which defense won that battle, even though Kaepernick ends up with 130 rushing yards. None of that shit is planned, and, you can tell.
The only thing I was really disappointed about with this game is, why can't, Marshawn Lynch get a Skittles commercial? What is the disrespect for him not getting he should have immediately been endorsed with Skittles several years ago.
That's a good point.
But the fact that now they're going to the Super Bowl, and basically anybody that watches football knows that they throw Skittles at him during the game, and especially if he scores.
Free advertising.
Right. Mm-hmm. But now if he actually, now he could change it and be like, no more Skittles, M&M's.
Right.
Skittles, you fucked up at that point.
That could be a good sports tournomics topic.
Because well, from Skittles' perspective, they're like, well, why should we pay Marshawn Lynch, right? We're already getting advertising for free. Why should I pay this guy? Mm-hmm. People just throw this stuff at him. We haven't done a thing. Mm-hmm. We haven't done a thing. Let him keep doing it. We don't got to pay this guy. He's already giving it to us for free.
Man, if he saw those Beats commercials after the game and all during, he better have, his agent or somebody better be having a conversation with Skittles, with sunflower seeds, chicken bones, whoever. He
needs to switch over. What he just needs to do is one day go, hey guys, this weekend in the Super Bowl, maybe we should throw Snickers, and Skittles will find him immediately. The second he says that in the pregame conference for the 2 weeks between the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl, Skittles will sign him to a contract as soon as they can. Another thing I wanted to bring up, obviously, because we can't talk about this game without talking about it. How great was my man Doug Baldwin? 106 yards? What? Nah, obviously. There was a battle going on. Apparently, Michael Crabtree and Richard Sherman have been going at it for, I guess, years at this point. I had no idea that this was a thing that was a big deal. We all know that my man Richard Sherman is a beast. And we all know that he's one of the best corners in the league, if not the best corner in the league. So to me, it didn't seem like that big a deal that he would shut down Crabtree or whoever he was on, because I played fantasy football all year, and I know whenever you have a number one receiver going up against the Seattle defense, you sit that dude unless it's like, Larry Fitzgerald, Green from AJ Green. Like, it's gotta be somebody so talented that you will take a flyer. And guess what? You are taking a flyer. That's not a guarantee just cause he's good. He still might end up with 5 for 25, no touchdowns, because that's how good Richard Sherman has been this year. So, I didn't really take much notice to the fact that he shut Crabtree down. Didn't really take that much notice to the fact that he was the guy who made that play. That was one of those, why the fuck did y'all throw it over there moments? You know, just one of the,
right, which is what Sherman said in the interview.
Right. And so we get to the post game interview, and I have the audio here so you guys can hear it live. But, he gets interviewed, and, this is what happens. Oh, I should probably turn the volume up.
Set it for you real quick. L.O.B.
All right, before... And Joe, back over to you.
All right, well, we saw what Rich...
Best part of that is, well, before, oh, and Joe, back over to you, because a producer was like, no, 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 no. Put those light-skinned Negroes back on camera.
We
are scaring the people at home. And if you watch the live clip, they really do cut immediately to Russell Wilson walking through a crowd, no mic around him, and they cut to Colin Kaepernick, which I thought was hilarious. Now, for me personally, didn't find that interview to be the most off-putting thing. I do agree with a lot of the critics that it was quote-unquote classless. I also think the NFL is classless as a sport, an organization. To me, par for the course as far as what I believe is going through these dudes' minds to get out there and play this crazy ass sport. Anyway, I didn't find it was threatening. I don't think Aaron Andrews was scared. The more I look at that clip, the more I realize they cut her off from doing her job, which I find very disrespectful to her, because she already has a tough enough job. And they turned her into that moment to a white damsel in distress and turned the camera off, like, get away from him, run. So those are the things that to me, like, immediately struck me. I'll go around and ask you guys, like, what immediately struck you when you saw this. Justin, what, struck you when you first saw the, Richard Sherman, discussion, rant?
I was like, finally Rod does get some coonery.
Cause
you didn't get it from, Cam Newton. He didn't get to celebrate and do what you know.
No, you wanted that. don't put that on me. I wanted Cam to be professional.
Okay, maybe.
Articulate, astute, and not hype at all, because he's a brand. Cam Newton is way bigger than the NFL in his mind.
Okay, well,
he would never damage his brand by scaring some white people, period.
Got what I wanted to do.
Thank you.
I was extremely like, yes, give it to me raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. Give it to me. And then I was like, why is she not listening? He said it in the beginning. Crabtree, don't you ever run your mouth about me. Mm-hmm. Then she said, yes. Who was talking about you? Pay attention when a black man is talking to you. Cause when we had to repeat ourselves, we do get louder.
Yeah.
And he got louder. And I was like, yes, yes, finally somebody that's going to give it to me honest. And not only that, they showed the replay of showing him tipping the ball. And I was like, right. Crabtree hadn't caught any passes, and the ones he did catch were across the middle away from Sherman. Yeah. I was like, it's about time.
Yeah. Did you think Aaron Andrews was scared when you first watched it?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I wondered if that was just me, because I saw a bunch of jokes on Twitter. I was like, well, those are jokes. But then people start covering it in the news like she was scared, and I was like, that's very disrespectful. Not to really, I mean, obviously the racism, duh, but it's very disrespectful to her. Like, yeah, she's around these big ass motherfuckers all day. She can't be down there. I have a question.
She'll probably grab a jersey like a coach would.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir. How was the game? I'll just hold the mic and dive away. Like,
I think she was surprised, because all prior to that, Richard was calm.
Yeah.
She
looked like, honestly, she looked like that moment where a journalist goes, oh shit, I just struck gold.
Right.
I'm like, going to ask this dude as many questions as possible.
She was like, she was shocked. Like, wait, is he really going to go there? Well, let's go there then, buddy. You know what I mean?
Who was talking about you? Like, you said she didn't hear him. I think she heard him. Who was talking about you?
Say it again. Say it one more time.
Well, now what exactly? Why did he mush you in the face? Like, she was going to start some shit. You know, best man touch my hand first, you know?
Yep. Before he has the time to think about it, retract his statement, all those things.
And calm down, realize that he's taking credit away from his team a little bit.
Yep.
You know, shit like that. You gotta catch him early, man.
But I was so excited for them. Like, my wife and I, we gave each other high fives. Mm-hmm. We was like, look at this. Yes.
It was so good. Now, yes. Morgan, what did you think about it, man, if you saw it?
I mean, the first thing I tweeted was best interview ever.
Me too.
Right.
What strikes me about that is when you just go back and look at the words, it was like the sheer innocuousness of what Richard Sherman said. Like, he did not say anything offensive. He didn't swear. Mm-hmm. He didn't talk about the dude's family, anything personal, nothing like that. And this is the kind of quote, too, that, you know, if he had said it to after the game to a group of print reporters, right, newspaper dudes, whatever it was, the reaction would have been completely different. People would have said, ooh, wow, that's brash.
Yep.
And that would have been it.
Let me throw one more out there, Morgan. Let me throw one more thing at you.
Yep.
If he had said that to Tony Siragusa or Sal Palantonio, I don't think it's as big a deal. Even live. I think the element of Aaron Andrews being there was part of the quote unquote problem that America had with it, is how dare you scare this poor, pretty white woman.
Right. Because no one had a problem when Steve Smith was threatening people.
Established, wasn't scared at all. Well, the other problem, you know, I have with people having a problem with it is that, one, he answered the question. Take his final play. Well, this is what I thought of the final play. They had this jump receiver crossing me. They're idiots. Why would they test me? Boom. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are upset with it. And he, again, on a lot of levels, he just gave people exactly what they asked for. Like, people always say, well, I get sick of hearing these athletes give the same answers over and over again. Well, he didn't do that, did he? He spoke very honestly, in the moment, from the heart. What's the problem? And the other thing, you know, that different media outlets always are trying to sell you is, we need to take you. It's like, as a print reporter, when you go cover a game, you know that you can't just rehash what happened in the game. You have to take people where television cameras in the moment can't take you. Different media outlets are always trumpeting for you their ability to get inside the game, to get inside the players' heads, to take you into the game within a game that you don't necessarily pick up watching television, which is exactly what Richard Sherman did. And people are upset with him. Why? I don't know. And she didn't ask him, hey, how does it feel to win the game? She didn't ask him, hey, great moment for your team to go to the Super Bowl. She said, what happened in that final play?
Right.
And he told her what happened in the final play, and somehow there's something wrong with that. And I don't get it, but obviously I do. Right. It's just amazing how you can become, I'll put it to you like this too. I'm not gonna say everyone had a problem with the delivery or the content of the message is a racist.
Right.
There's just a lot of people who happen to be racist who have a problem. But I'll put it to you like this. Now, was the message like harshly delivered? Yes. Is that a problem? No. Now, as someone, you know, who has coached youth football and high school football and stuff, would I coach a group of teenagers to react that way when they win a game? Not at all, right? But 15, 16, 17-year-olds, they might be playing for something bigger, but they're also playing, you know, to learn life lessons. 25, 26-year-old man with a big – he's not playing to learn life lessons. He's playing for a check. And let's not – and this is the problem with people when they watch sports. They watch it through the prism of their own sports playing experience. For most people, that stopped when they were 10, 11, 12. That's when the bottleneck got too tight. Puberty hit. The guy that grew was a lot better than you because you didn't grow. Mm-hmm. That's that. But all these guys think that sports is about, yeah, camaraderie and learning life lessons and instilling values and all. Listen, that's a grown man. You're not instilling no values in him on an NFL football field. Let him do what he does.
Right.
Period.
Yep.
Also, there's a cultural difference here. Because I feel like, on the side of every basketball court I've ever played at in my life, I've seen worse than this.
Right.
And nobody got to get shot. Yes. Nobody got in a fight. But a little trash talking after you talk trash all during the game. It's all par for the course. It's all fair play. No one talked about your mother. Nobody touched anybody. And he didn't even curse at the dude to call him out his name. To me,
he called him Crabtree. Well, he called him a sorry receiver, but all of that is relative.
Right. You know? No harm, no foul. He walked up to the dude to shake his hand after the game, I think trollingly, but still he extended his hand and said, good game. A great game, actually. Great game. And a dude mushed him in the face. Somehow that's not classless. That's not a problem. I feel like that moment, it leads to the other moment. It's like, you don't mush that guy in the face. If you to keep your hands to yourself, seconds later, that guy isn't talking shit about you because it's just like, whatever, you know? But once
this is my problem with the people who had a problem with Sherman, too, is that put yourself, and this is, indicative, and I'm really trying to like stay away because everybody looks at this moment and tries to draw these like profound conclusions about our broader culture, and everyone's a goddamn philosopher now. Like, you know what, 99.9% of y'all ain't that smart, so really but it's the inability to empathize. Like, people watch this moment as if they would respond calmly to someone smacking them in the face.
Right.
Any of these people, any of these journalists who call this guy classless, I'm going to walk up to them while they're trying to work. No, matter of fact, I'm going to walk up to them after when they're trying to tell me, hey, great story. Hey, Morgan, great story. Bah! Get out of here. later, they're going to say, Morgan's a great guy. You know, he works hard. You know, enforce it the way, no. They're going to talk about me up and down. And then they're probably going to, you know, call my boss. So like all these people who think this guy should have reacted more calmly. Well, how would you react when someone hits you in the face?
Right.
Yeah.
It's a lack of empathy and just a lack of really common sense.
Yeah. It's also weird too, because people claim that they want realness. They want rawness. Whatever happened to rivalry? You hear this a lot when people pine for the '80s, like, NBA, like, remember when teams didn't like each other and they would flagrantly foul each other and now everybody's soft? And then the second anything gets a little bit close to the edge, not even out of control, just a little bit. I'm not talking Malice of the Palace. I'm talking, J.R. Smith untying a person's shoe and getting fined $50,000. Like, when anybody gets a little bit out of control, we jump into policing black emotion so quick. You know, Sherman has been like his own best supporter this year when he brought up like, hey, I saw a hockey game the other day. There were 9 fights in the first minute, but hey, I guess that's fine. people are calling me thug. That seems like a coded word, you know, and I think he's making valid points. So I really hate that it even became like anything to do with race and all this shit, because on its surface, I think there's a lot of people who just don't like when anybody grandstands in what we can assume is, just competitive competition. You shake hands, you bow, you do whatever, you hug, you do whatever you do, and you're supposed to separate that culturally that moment from whatever happened on the field. No matter how ridiculous I think that is, a lot of people are able to do it, and I understand, right? But at the same time, are we really not making any allowances for just the idea that people do some crazy shit for a living, such as hit grown men at full speed, and they might say something in the heat of the moment, man? Like, it just makes sense to me. Like, when it happened, I went, that makes sense. And I laughed, and that was it. I had no idea. For the record, I avoided all news coverage. I didn't listen to the radio for the next like 72 hours. I had no idea this shit got so racial until Wednesday when somebody was like, did you see this link of all these people calling Sherman a nigger? I was like, for what though? Like more than normal? It's like, yes, this is, these people were specifically angered. So yeah, man, it's very weird ordeal, man. And also there's a little thing that gets glossed over here. Did you guys know? Cause they cut away, the producer cut away from that interview because he said it was getting dangerous and, he thought he was out of control. Did you guys know that he had just already done the Spanish, yes, interview before that? So what was out of control? Okay. I don't get it. Although I have, clip. Yeah, I have the audio.
Hug him, right?
Yeah, then he hugged Aaron Andrews before he even start. I actually have the audio of that.
That's why I said he was extremely calm.
Yeah, let me play the audio of his Spanish interview.
We take what we want, and after we take Lex Luger and the Giants, we want the gold, sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
Yeah, see, I didn't think anything was wrong with that. I thought that was absolutely fine. What was the problem? Let's move on, man. We got an email.
Hold on, one thing.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say one thing. Next time, Richard Sherman, because I know you listen to Everybody Likes This Show.
Yes, obviously.
You just need to be calm when you threaten people like Steve Smith.
No, he got to cut his dreads. That's it. That's it, man. That's the big elephant in the room nobody's covering with this topic. He cut his dreads. This ain't even a problem, man. You just, you know, it's kind of like Bomani Jones had to cut his dreads. You know, you got to cut your dreads around these white folks, man. They don't like that shit. I don't know why, but they don't.
No, but just... maybe get you a white woman so it can kind of balance it. I don't know, Richard. I don't know. Yeah. But definitely speak calmer when you threaten people.
Morgan, did you ever have dreads?
Nuh-uh.
Okay, but Morgan never had the dreads, man.
Never, sir.
You see, they're not scared of him, man. They be telling him no all the time.
Okay, even look in the message boards. You have people calling them dreads. What I do know about dreads and locks is it gets very political.
Mm-hmm.
When you call them dreadlocks, because people will stop you short. Like telling someone they have dreadlocks is like referring to them as colored. Right? Like, no. These are not dreadlocks. These are locks. You need to get your mind out of mental slavery. Locks with no K, LOCs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You can't
man.
Talk to me like that.
You I haven't. As you can tell,
yeah,
I
yeah, be very careful. And be careful when writing, because you could ignite like a Twitter, especially if you follow, like you have a lot of followers and are like, natural hair doctrinaires and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you make the mistake of tweeting dreadlocks, dude, watch out.
Wow, well, you know, it's crazy because
watch out, man.
I don't get in those circles anymore because I started buying my incense at Infinity's End. So it's been a long time since I've had to get the vernacular of dreadlocks correct or not. And I didn't know that was going to be a problem to tweet, so I'm going to go ahead and tweet that right now. Richard Sherman would have been okay if he had just cut them damned dreadlocks. See what happens, guys. We'll get a live update on that later. We got an email from a man, Brandon, and he says, Balls Deep Sports 35, Omaha. That was the title of the last show.
Omaha!
What's going on, Rod and Justin? It's Bill Monty chiming in on Balls Deep for the first time, though this was not my first listen. Just wanted to comment on Gary Payton being a salty, nostalgic old nigga. Don't you? I love our fans. we covered an article where Gary Payton was lamenting the state of the NBA currently and how back in the day it was so much better.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, back when you could hand check. Yeah, back when you could hand check all the more superiorly skilled offensive athletes. Is that what you're talking about, Gary? When they allowed you to just fucking put an arm in their side? Okay. While Gary Payton was correct in labeling himself a superstar given his resume, multiple first team all NBA selections and Hall of Famer. Yeah, I think me and Justin contended that might not have been superstar, might have been one level above. He might have been all-star, superstar. I don't know.
Yeah, Rasheed Wallace got those same same titles and praises. Right, but yeah.
Superstar seems a little – no offense to Gary. Obviously, all due respect, but superstar is a little much. He of course has it all wrong on today's game. First off, fans and players alike love to say how everything is a foul in today's game, and they never called fouls back in the day. You suppose he could punch a nigga in the face, hit the nigga with two Hadoukens and a Kamehameha before you get that call foul, that foul call. Not to be too much of a nerd, but the evidence just does not back this up. Free throw attempts back in the 80s and 90s were actually much higher than on a per shot basis than they are now. Were niggas getting shot on the court back then, or do we call shenanigans on these claims? Also, like you stated on the show, shooting percentages are down now as well compared to back then. Niggas just want to hate because that's what old niggas love to do. Yeah, because they always go, not only was it the best shooting of all time, it was also the best defense of all time. And I'm like,
both. It can't be both.
Yeah, both of those things cannot exist. Everyone can hit a shot and everyone could defend like LeBron James. Like, no, you couldn't. Yep. I was alive for these games, guys.
Yeah, we saw the Jordan stopper and what happened to him.
They act like the Phoenix Suns and the Dallas Mavericks weren't running gun losing teams back then.
Yes.
Like, anyway.
In Denver.
Right, Denver, yeah. Denver.
Who was that coach, man? And he coached in the Loyal Marymount, too. And they would put up like 120 and 130. But
was that Westfall?
Westfall.
Yeah. Something. Yeah, dude. It's like, we're just gonna run shit out of this because we play losing basketball, but we can at least make it exciting.
Right.
The Charlotte Hornets used to do it here for a couple years. They have 115 points and they lose by 15.
Yep.
But we would watch and be like, oh, look, man, J.R. Reed got a dunk. And that would be the thing that we talked about the next day. I never was under the illusion that, nah, man, the Hornets just play a superior brand of basketball. You put them in the league right now. You put that sorry team in the league right now, they get ran like everybody else, man. He says here, niggas just hate because that's what old niggas love to do. Everything was the best ever back in my day because you only want to remember the good and you didn't appreciate it as much back then as you do now. That's all I have to say for this email, except that there's no official Los Angeles Lakers fan for this podcast. I would like to put my application in. Well, Justin is a Los Angeles Lakers fan.
Yeah, I like the Lakers.
But if you would like to join the Laker crew, Bill Monty, feel free, man.
Yeah, welcome.
I would like to apply for the Redskins as well. Well, Justin, you racking them up. You're the Redskins fan on the show too.
Hey, man, you know they recognize quality.
You can't accuse him of being bandwagon. I know that much. Both of those teams are going through a time right now.
If you want to jump on either one of those teams at this time, then you definitely want to be a fan.
He said he would be a Redskins fan as well, but given how they've been in my lifetime, they don't deserve that just yet. Peace, Rod and Justin. Continue the great entertainment y'all give us. We will, Bill Monty. Thank you for writing us so much. I'll take a quick second just to kind of debunk some NBA stuff here. The problem with the NBA isn't even the addition of teams. It's not, oversaturation of talent. I think players are probably more talented on the whole now than they were, when I was growing up because everybody was just specialists and shit.
The talent pool is absolutely deeper. Yes.
Yeah. And more people know.
Absolutely deeper. Go ahead.
And more people know about it because you can't, like, that's the thing that's funny is, we can't call Jordan the greatest player ever if we don't also acknowledge his impact on the game and so many kids picking up a basketball that would have picked up a baseball, that would have picked up a football, that would have picked up something different. And they were like, nope, I want to be Mike. So, there's a reason that basketball is better on an overall talent than it ever has been. The problem is our selective memory. We only cherry pick from the times that, the 90s and 80s. Throughout my lifetime, there's been like six teams that have won an NBA championship.
Right.
Ain't shit changed. Like the Bulls, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Spurs, Detroit snuck in and got one. You know what I mean? Like this is Dallas snuck in and got one.
Well, you forget the Bad Boys during your lifetime too.
Detroit. Yeah. Like, so this was never the Houston. This was never a thing where, NBA is like the NFL. It's always up for grabs. The talent pool has gotten deeper. The sport has gotten bigger. The players have gotten better. They got more control and stuff, but the players have gotten bigger. And I think that what happened back in the day was you could have a Jeff Malone, you could have a Jeff Hornacek, you could have
Scott Skiles.
right, you know, and no, all respect due, But those dudes now would not be as good, in my opinion, as they were back then, because for dudes, and not specific, Hersey Hawkins, for dudes like that, where it's like, what do you do well? I hit a 17 foot jump shot consistently, as long as nobody's got a hand in my face. No, that won't work when a dude 6'8" is checking you. And I think, we also see more teams. We used to only see on Sunday afternoon, the best teams. Right. Yep. It was just, oh, the Rockets play the Bulls and the Celtics play the Lakers. Next week, the Rockets play the Celtics and the Bulls play the Lakers.
Yeah, you would, and sometimes you wouldn't know depending on how the season was going. They would switch it up based on who was
winning. Exactly. It's like, weren't the Knicks supposed to play? No, they suck this year. Yeah. That will be, the right. team that is good.
So, like they do every year.
So now we have fucking basketball every night of the week. You know, ESPN's covering the shit on Wednesday and Friday. TNT's got it on Thursday. NBA yep. TV has it every other night of the week.
Yep.
Then you have your local teams. We see more teams
and
now.
And that's without the league pass.
Exactly. That's without even saying league pass. You're going to see more teams. SportsCenter is now 24/7. You're going to see more highlights. So suddenly you're going, I used to never watch Minnesota play. When I only had basic cable and, there was no NBA TV and there was no, TNT game of the night and all this shit. So you only got to see Minnesota play if, like a huge amount of coincidences collided at the same time and they snuck onto your television. Now you can't avoid seeing this shit. So you think basketball sucks because you've never seen the bottom, two thirds of the league until the last probably 10 to 15 right. years. Which coincides exactly with when you think basketball fell off, for all these nostalgic dudes.
You know, a good point that both you and, Morgan made is that when you think about who only won titles was the Lakers and, the Celtics. It's evident that there is a deeper pool now because more teams, they might make the finals. They might not necessarily win, but they do make the finals. You do have a variety of teams in the finals.
Yeah.
But at one time, it was only the Lakers.
Well, free agency has changed that. Contracts, yeah. The salary cap. Like, these are things that the sport did to make it more competitive, and people are bitching about it. It's like, now, what was worse? When the Bulls were winning everything every fucking year? Or now when it's like, oh, you know what? Oklahoma City's pretty good. Maybe they got a shot.
Yep. And
I like this.
And it's small, like they always call them small market teams.
Right.
They're making money.
We're an expansion team. The Heat. Yep. To
remember
me,
when their best player was Ronnie Cicely?
Dude. Do I?
That's where they've come from, right?
I remember wanting Ronnie Cicely. Like, man, I really wish we could have got Cicely. Cause the Hornets came in the same year. I'm like, man, we could have just got Cicely. We would have been good. So, yeah, dog, it's just a very weird thing. And, I'm glad that you wrote in, Bill. But let's talk. I want to talk to Morgan about some stuff, man.
Can I ask Morgan one question?
Sure, man. Of course. That's why we got him here.
Morgan, how many children do you think would have actually picked up a book instead of playing a different sport, had they not been following Jordan's path?
Picked up a book?
Yeah, just picked up a book.
Yeah, Michael Jordan hurt education.
Know, you know what? I think the Jordan effect is more worldwide than it was in the U.S., right? Mm-hmm. Because, like, Americans always have any number of sporting role models in every single sport. And Jordan, too, is a guy that was 6'6". Like, he's a basketball player-sized dude, mm-hmm. right? It's not like all the 6'6", 198-pound guys were, like, all out here pitching baseballs and saying, oh, wait a minute, I can be a basketball player? Mm-hmm. I never thought of it. Like, no, if you're 6'6" and 198... basketball is always going to be an option for you, right? But I think he helped take this game so international, right? Mm. And I think, and well, not just the playing of the game, but the marketing of it, right? And all these efforts that the NBA is making now to globalize the sport really started with Jordan, because he was the first guy that wasn't just a regional or a national phenomenon, but he was the first NBA guy that you could really export to England or to China or to Japan or one of these other countries. So I think that's more where his influence was, more so than on, you know, attracting athletes to the sport who wouldn't otherwise have been there, because, you know, again, in the United States, you always have sports role models in every sport. What attracts you to one sport versus another is something different.
Well, I will add this. I do think Michael Jordan definitely hurt the education of young black kids in America, if that's what you were getting at, Justin. So I wanted to ask you about the Baseball Hall of Fame, man. I don't know much about it because we don't really, I don't follow baseball that much.
Neither do I.
So you, I, when, like, used, but you used to follow baseball pretty hard, right?
I follow it. I just don't understand how guys get into the.
Oh, okay.
Now, what specifically do you want? I voted Cy Young 1 year. I voted for Felix Hernandez, Cy Young, the year he was 12-12, but led the league in every other category.
Now, how'd you get that vote?
Because he was just playing for a garbage team.
How'd you get that vote?
Well, because the two years I covered baseball, I was a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America, right? So these are the people who get these votes.
Oh, okay.
So, but you have to have been in it for a certain number of years. I'm not a member anymore, but you have to have been in the organization for a certain number of years to get a Hall of Fame vote. So my second year, I got a Cy Young vote, but I was not, you know, I'm not in it anymore. So I didn't get to the point where they would let me vote for the Hall of Fame. But so, that's how you get to vote.
So as a writer, you can just be like, put me in this membership club too, and then eventually you'll get a Hall of Fame vote.
Well, the way I got is because I was covering baseball for the Toronto Star. When you cover baseball for like a big publication, you're gonna have to travel a lot and go to major league and minor league ballparks. It's helpful just to get a BBWAA membership, because then you can just go to any ballpark and it's like a VIP, not a VIP pass, but like you don't have to call ahead for credentials necessarily. Any major league or minor league ballpark, you're in the BBWAA. They're like, okay, yeah, you can have a spot. They're never going to deny you for credentials. But yeah, there are rules around, and the organization kind of skews older. It was a big deal for them because this year was the first year they had a African American president. Because I mean, there already are not very many African American sports writers. And then a sport like baseball, there are even fewer. So for them to elect an African American president, Lavelle Neal, he works in Minneapolis. That was a big deal.
Now, is he light-skinned African American?
You know, I've never seen him. I've never seen the guy.
Say his name again.
Lavelle Neal.
That sounds like an African American. I think I went to high school with him.
Let's see what he looks like. No, he's pretty. He's chocolatey.
Okay, that makes sense.
He's solid. He's not racially ambiguous at all. He's unambiguously a black dude.
For the record, guys, I would like to give an update. Richard Sherman would have been okay if he had cut them damn dreadlocks. This is a joke, right? From LaShawn Treese, Mrs. Star Status on Twitter. And Jerithy at Juan Jeeks says, Twitter continues to unearth new depths of ignorance. So I guess Morgan was right. I guess I shouldn't have said that. Here's the thing, man. Did you hear about what Dan Le Batard did with his vote?
Yes, I did.
What'd you think about it, man?
It was fine.
Okay.
It you know, he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish, right? Was to expose that the Hall of Fame voting process is like completely arbitrary. You know, people treat him as if he hijacked the process, as if, you know, these individual writers with their own agendas don't hijack the process every single year, right? Like, why is Barry Bonds not in the Hall of Fame? Because these not activist writers, but these, again, the same guys that don't like Yasiel Puig, the same guys that probably think Richard Sherman was out of line, are the same guys who have this idealized notion of baseball. And it's not different from Gary Payton judging contemporary NBA through not just his memory, but the distortions of his memory. Baseball guys are the same way. So they say, well, we're not going to include any steroid era guys because they didn't have a level playing field, even though, you know, Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth and all these guys that didn't have to play against black or Latino guys. They're in the Hall of Fame. And again, we're talking about talent pools. You look at Major League Baseball right now, and easily 30% of the people on the field, no matter where they're from, I'm just saying 30% of the people on that field have measurable amounts of melanin, because there are a lot of people in the world with melanin and with baseball talent. They wind up in the major leagues, whether they're American, Dominican, Venezuelan, Cuban, wherever. Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, none of these guys ever played against anyone who had melanin. Right?
Right.
Yet they're in the Hall of Fame.
They were very classy.
That was not a level playing field, because I'm sure it was cats in Cuba and Venezuela at the time that could have came up here and showed Ty Cobb how to hit a baseball, but he's in the Hall of Fame.
But more
like Kennesaw Mountain Landis, right? Because all these guys get caught up on the purity of the game and playing the way it's supposed to be played. All capitals at the beginning of each word. Playing the way the game like it's a title.
Right.
They get really wrapped up in this stuff, right? And they say, well, we can't admit Barry Bonds to the Hall of Fame, even though Barry Bonds, before he touched the steroid, was the best player in baseball by a mile. But again, they can admit Kennesaw Mountain Landis, right, who was the commissioner who defended the color line. Okay, so he's in the Hall of Fame, even though he actively made it part of his job to make sure that the playing field was not level. But Barry Bonds can't get in the Hall of Fame, even though he hit more home runs than anybody and did not break the rules of baseball. This is the other thing, because steroids, they didn't test for steroids back then, so you could do whatever you wanted. So don't blame Barry Bonds for that. But these are the people that vote for the Hall of Fame. So every year, these arbitrary biases get reinforced in the Hall of Fame voting. So this is what Dan Le Batard said he was going to highlight by doing what he did. So I have no problem with it at all.
Yeah, well, you know, it's weird. Like, those people that you mentioned are considered also the, like, bastions of classiness and sports culture and how to, you know, handle winning and all this shit. Like, we didn't know. Even back then, we know of their secrets and their dirty, like, misgivings, but somehow it just is considered all washed away. And because they knew how to talk in front of a microphone, it didn't matter if they were, you know, an alcoholic or a woman abuser or a philanderer.
Right.
Any of this shit.
Because now now all these writers, and I don't know how the hell this happened. Mm-hmm. Right. All these crotchety old baseball writers, even young guys on the internet, now also become, the arbiters of morality, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, these same guys that venerate people like Mickey Mantle right now, if a guy who is just like Mickey Mantle came along right now, they would rip this guy every day for the same reasons. He drinks too much. He's a poor role model. Sleeps with too many women, blah, blah, blah. So therefore, he can't also be a great baseball player. Like, these two things are connected. How can I vote for him for the Hall of Fame? Look how many times he cheated on his wife. Who cares? This is not the Fidelity Hall of Fame. This is the Baseball Hall of Fame. And again, the voting process now becomes, and then, you know, in the day-to-day coverage of baseball too, it becomes like this forum. Yeah, for these people, you know, to defend, a standard that never really existed. Right.
Yeah.
It's the same way that Gaylord Perry gets into the Hall of Fame, even though everyone knows he cheated. He used to throw spitballs all the time, but, you know, viewed through the prism of years and distorted memory, that's cute and it's quaint. Oh, he's just doing anything he could to win. Oh, that old Gaylord Perry, he did whatever he did. What a great guy. But, you know, Yasiel Puig is somehow a jerk because he misses a cutoff man, so that makes him a horrible human being. Like, this is again the thought pattern that gets reinforced every year in Baseball Hall of Fame voting, which is why guys like Le Batard say, well, it already is a mockery. I can't make more of a mockery than it already is by selling my vote to Deadspin.
I'm mad they took away future votes from him is what I didn't like about it. But Morgan, what do you think about if fans were to continuously write in or petition and say, hey, we want Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame, would that change things? Would that get him into the
I have
thing?
No idea. I have no idea. But I feel like this is the other thing too, right? Is that here's the thing about sports writers is that we all like to think that we're more important than we are. Sports writers as a group, are nice to have at parties and stuff because everyone likes to talk about sports and you can talk to them. Okay, great. But in the bigger picture, like, sports writers aren't all that important, right? When have you ever said to yourself, when have you ever in your life, besides this because I'm the guest on the show, when have you ever said to yourself, oh, man, I'm glad the sports writers are here? Shit, never, right? You'll say, oh, man, I'm glad the police are here. Oh, goodness, thank God the teacher showed up. We can start the class. No one is, like, waiting for sports writers, right? So this is the one time a year that people actually wait for whatever it is sports writers are going to do. And this is the one thing that makes, you know, these guys that cover baseball feel important. And this is something that they can lord over players, especially against guys they didn't like. Because a lot of the problem, too, with Barry Bonds is that he was a jerk to the media. And now this is a chance for now, but now he needs the media to put him into the Hall of Fame. And the Hall of Fame means something to him. So for all these days, all these nights on deadline, we needed a good quote from Barry Bonds and he wouldn't give it to you. Now there's something that he needs from you and you can withhold it from him. And this is power. It's something that's very petty. No one ever accused sports writers and baseball writers of not being petty. This is what it is.
And that's crazy because they want him to give a good quote, but at the same time, you want him to keep it classy. And maybe he didn't know how to do both.
Well, also, it's crazy because they want to be seen as the keepers.
Yes.
Of, you know, like when you said, would fans ever be able? No, fans petitioning wouldn't help at all because this is not about fans. This is about them. It's about the media. As yes. much as they complain about athletes' egos, this is the media's egos. No one's ego is bigger than the media because they're the guys who feel that they get to decide who is to be considered worthy of our adulation. And I think one of the reasons that Bob Costas has a huge gripe with internet blogs, in my opinion, is because it takes the power and the illusion away from the sports media. I've never worshipped the sports media, no offense, Morgan, but because it's in my lifetime, it's been 95% white. So if it's 95% white male, you want me to look at that as...
It's more than 95%.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's more than 95%. You want me to look at that as my... as the,
it's way more than 95%.
Yeah, this guy should tell me who I am allowed to feel is worth my money right. and my attention and my time by his moral code and his standards, which I don't share, not to mention the cultural clash there when a guy doesn't even understand couldn't name five hip-hop acts, but yet he somehow can tell me what it means when LeBron James throws up powder before a game or when LeBron James is shaking hands with Jay-Z, somehow that's wrong or something like that. It's like you don't even know anything about this culture. You don't even come from this and you don't care to learn. You care to sit in your ivory tower and judge it. So this is the ultimate display of that. And what Levitard did, I thought was cool because it's as sensationalistic as it is. It was cool to listen to these people go, oh, this guy's making it all about him. The entire process is making it all about you though. You know, I watch sports reporters. I see, you know, the rants that you guys go on. I see the Barry Bonds will never get in as long as I'm alive. You know, like I see that shit and not just Barry Bonds, anyone from the quote unquote steroid era. You know, I see these, oh, well, I'm just going to make them wait a few times and then I'll
go. And players who've never.
Go ahead, Morgan.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say like.
Even players.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like Craig Biggio.
Yep.
Yeah, and players like Biggio and Piazza who were never directly linked to steroid
right.
use, but happened to have played during that era, and they're penalized too. Because again, yeah.
Well, he was on those teams.
Journalists can be very petty people.
He was on those teams, and he was like he just randomly started putting up huge numbers, though. And I can see how you would want to link him to it, but I do agree with Biggio.
Yeah. But even if you can link them to it, it doesn't mean you should. And it just puts this whole idea of like proof away where it's like, it's not even proof anymore. It's just suspicion.
But no, that's what I was going to follow it up with. But that doesn't mean just because you assume or just because he might be linked to it. He might even be best friends with the guy that's shooting up. It doesn't mean that, he still shouldn't be voted to the Hall of Fame based off of what he did off the field.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask Morgan about this shit. This is a little different.
Oh, I thought we was gonna talk about A-Rod. I mean,
oh, what? You go ahead. If you have more questions, go ahead, man.
Because you know we've been pent up against A-Rod and not been able to talk about him. Now he's suing. He was suing the players union because they don't want to play with him.
Yeah. It's just odd that A-Rod is doing all the shit that every self-aggrandizing writer claimed you should be doing. All the steps that Lance Armstrong took, all the steps that Roger Clemens took, and nobody fucking believes him. and they will not give him the benefit of the doubt. I've seen him called all kinds of names, scumbag, all kinds of shit. And they don't even care at this point. So it's kind of funny to listen to people that were claiming when they like a guy, it's like, well, as long as he fights it, I'm on his side. When they don't like you, they don't like you. And they don't like A-Rod.
Yep. They was like, if he... Now, go ahead, Morgan.
Go ahead. What I was going to say is, I have no doubt that A-Rod was on Sauce. Mm-hmm. No doubt. But at the same time, there's no positive test here. And I am absolutely on A-Rod's side in the fight. Absolutely on A-Rod's side in the fight. And you know what? Every single player in Major League Baseball, and he's right to sue the union. And this is, you know, one of the unfortunate consequences of the steroid era of baseball, because the union was kind of cast as this organization that protected steroid users and enabled steroid users. Maybe that was like the consequence of the union just fighting drug testing. But if the union's not standing up for A-Rod in this, and A-Rod, again, is a jerk, and that really hurts his cause, he's a jerk, in his personal life, he's a jerk. You know, cheats on his wives or whatever his significant others are. He's a slumlord. All this stuff. But the problem with this case is, and this is where A-Rod is absolutely right, but the fact that he's a jerk and almost certainly on steroids distracts people from the fact that he's absolutely right here. Okay, there's no positive test. No positive test. There is no positive test. Fine. Now, if you're going to use this evidence that you got from Tony Bosch as proof that Alex Rodriguez is on steroids, one, I don't agree with it, but two, if that's what you must do, right, then this is A-Rod's technically his first offense, because this drug, the positive test that came out before the 2009 season was connected to that first round of baseline testing that Major League Baseball conducted to see if they were going to institute more testing. Those were unofficial tests that weren't supposed to carry any penalties. Mm-hmm. So basically, it didn't exist. It was just in terms of discipline, it didn't exist. It was just all, an experiment.
Oh, I was wondering why he just only apologized, but nothing happened.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now when you bring it back to what's happening now, technically A-Rod does not have any previous offenses. He does not have any – he is a first-time offender. So if I'm A-Rod, I say, okay, well, one, I don't agree with you trying to suspend me when I don't have a positive test. But if you're going to take all this as evidence that I took steroids, well then, where's my 50 games?
Right.
Where's 214 coming from? Where's 162 coming from? I'm a first-time offender. Where's my 50 games? So if baseball says, well, because we have evidence that you took steroids more than once, we can count that as multiple offenses. Well then, it shows a complete misunderstanding of this thing that they're trying to police. Because guys who test positive for steroids are not guys who took steroids one day, tested positive the next day, and that was their first time taking steroids. You test positive at the end of a cycle. You've taken steroids. You're going to take each ingestion of steroids as a separate offense. Then every guy who tests positive would just be banned for life because they've taken steroids three times that month or three times that week or whatever it is. So if I'm Alex Rodriguez, I'm completely right to say, where's my 50 games?
Free A-Rod is what I say. Yes. Free him.
Well, exactly.
I'm actually for that now.
The other thing, too, is, again, there's no positive test. What you have is a guy who they paid to testify against you, who has a shady background to begin with. So Major League Baseball out here, is out here paying alleged drug dealers to testify in these drug cases. And surprise, surprise, this guy's telling Major League Baseball exactly what they want to hear.
Right.
Now, this and when Alex Rodriguez is the victim of this, no one cares. But again, if this is the precedent you're setting and the union is saying, oh, you know what, it's fine to do it, it's fine. We want to clean up the game. what's stopping people from doing this every time, you know, some player hits too many home runs, some player who hasn't been anointed a superstar puts up superstar numbers without the permission of, you know, fans or sports writers.
Right.
Right. What happens when the next guy like Jose Bautista develops, a guy who's been a utility player for a long time, turns into this superstar? You can get any number of guys to jump up and say, hey, hey, I gave that guy steroids. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, well, we don't have a positive test from you, Jose Bautista, but we got a guy that says he gave you steroids. And look, he has a bunch of paperwork, so you're suspended. Oh, he says he gave you steroids twice. You're a second time offender. 100 games. Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. Where's my positive test? Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? And this is the precedent you're setting.
When did
the union's not going to fight this? Man, if I was A-Rod, I would sue all these people.
And when did baseball start?
I have no doubt that he took steroids, but if I was him, I would sue these people.
Right. I agree. Now, when did baseball start trudging snitches, though? Because I remember when baseball was saying, when Jose Canseco was going around for over a decade saying, the whole game is dirty. Everybody's on this shit. They say you can't trust him. He's a cheater and he's a snitch, and nobody trusts a cheater and a snitch. Baseball is literally paying the cheaters and the snitches now to inform. And now we can trust them. It's fucking weird to me. And I feel like it's only going down that way when you don't like a guy.
Who's it?
Nobody likes A-Rod. So now we can trust a snitch. If this would have been somebody, was it Ryan Braun?
Yep, Ryan Braun.
Just Ryan Braun had fucking Aaron Rodgers testifying for him. He had Aaron Rodgers. He don't even play the same sport. Talking about some, listen, he ain't do it. Stop asking questions.
Ryan Braun also, and again, Ryan Braun, one, had a positive test that A-Rod did not have. Mm-hmm. Two, Ryan Braun went on the offensive against the guy who tested him. Yep. Right?
Poured out this guy's
integrity in public and got a shorter suspension than A-Rod. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I'm A-Rod again, I'm like, where is my 50 games? I don't have a positive test.
I know I'm a Yankees fan, but I think somebody, one of the Steinbrenners, wrote that check. to pay that dude to testify, not Major League Baseball, but one of the Steinbrenners. They wrote a personal check. You might want to check his bank account.
Now this might be a quicker thing to cover, but since Morgan's on the show, I thought I'd talk about it. I was just gonna talk about it and laugh. But did y'all hear Manny Pacquiao says he'll fight Floyd Mayweather for charity and quote the love of boxing. The love of boxing. That's what we need to fight for. He says, I'm not desperate to fight him. I mean, well, obviously Mayweather isn't desperate at all. But anyway, Pacquiao also said he would acquiesce to stringent drug testing. Like he...
Now?
You know what, man? Pacquiao is that chick that would not give you the time of day when you were in high school.
That ninth grade.
And now you got now you got a nice car. And you got a girl. You got a girl now. And you just got engaged. You're like, we're happy. We're having a kid.
She got pregnant during high school.
Yeah, we just bought a house.
You graduated from college.
And now she texts you and is like, listen, I don't know what's up with you now, but I'm over here ready to give it away. Just all you have to do, I will pay for the plane ticket. Like, that is the level that he's teasing at this point. Cause now that Floyd, and I remember when I said this shit, it's been years and I've stood firm on it. This fight happens when it's no longer the fight we want to see. That's when, and even now, it's still kind of that fight people want to see. I don't think it'll happen now. It'll probably be another year or two, but the second that we're kind of like, you know what? It really doesn't matter to Floyd or Pacquiao's legacy. If Floyd beats Pacquiao up, which, you know, is going to happen, I think everybody will be like, once we get to that point, we're like, I guess it doesn't really matter. That's when they'll fight, if they're going to fight at all. But here's the quote.
I don't think they're not going to fight. They ain't never going to fight. Okay.
Here's the quote. I'm not desperate to fight him just for the sake of money or material things. I'm not the ones who's seeking this fight. Rather, it's the boxing fans all over the world, Pacquiao told the Inquirer on the phone. Pacquiao said he was willing to fight Mayweather anytime, anywhere, even without a single caveat, a centavo of prize money. Above all, I challenge him to include in our fight contract that both of us will not receive anything out of this fight. We will donate all the proceeds from the fight, guaranteed prizes should there be any, gate receipts, pay-per-view, and endorsements to charities around the world. Pacquiao and Mayweather should agree to such a fight said Pacquiao said Mayweather should agree to such a fight if the American was not afraid to meet him. God, I hate the people that are gonna seize on that. I have carved my own niche.
What?
You know they're going to. He said he afraid, dog. Like, he's a grown man that gets hit in the face for a living. I don't think he's afraid. I have carved my own niche in the annals of boxing, the Filipino champ said. There's no reason why I should be desperate to fight him, but since boxing fans worldwide are seeking a demand, demanding a Pacquiao Mayweather fight, I don't want to disappoint them. Floyd, if you're a real man, fight me. Let's do it for the love of boxing and for the fans. Let's do it for not for the sake of money. Let's make boxing fans happy. What do you think about that, Morgan?
What publication is that from?
SportsGrid.com. TheEnquirer.net is the original people who posted it.
The Enquirer. Hold, you guys talk. I'm going to look up TheEnquirer.net.
Okay.
I'll take
go ahead,
this.
Justin. What do you think?
Floyd Money.
Is it Enquirer or Enquirer?
Enquirer.net. I will send you a link to the original article. I'm going to put it in the chat room right now.
Floyd Money Mayweather looked at
because
this and said,
I'm highly skeptical.
How did you get this number like Dame Dash did in State Property when Beans kept calling him? He said, how did you get this number for free?
Right.
For who? For what? You can play. You know what? You will fight. You give all your money to charity. I'm going to keep mine, bro. I have money in my name. My legal name on my birth certificate has money on it. It says my mom's name be Floyd Money Mayweather. I'll do this for free.
You think one of those charities is the Bob Arum charity for Bob Arum? Because I feel like it's not happening if Bob ain't getting his cut.
Hold on.
Who just translated this?
I can almost guarantee you guys that this story is fake.
Oh, really? Uh-oh. What happened?
Yeah, because, well, I'm not going to tell you not to trust Filipino media on anything Manny Pacquiao related.
No disrespect.
Yeah, no disrespect.
But don't trust Filipino media. But if you choose not to trust Filipino media on things Manny Pacquiao related, it will save you from like a lot of disappointment when you find out these stories are false. And I feel bad for my Filipino friends on Facebook, you know, posting, because these stories come out of the Philippines all the time. Like, You know, you see how we're manufacturing Richard Sherman stories now just to keep search engine optimization going. This is like a constant thing in Filipino media with Manny Pacquiao. You just now check this. check the quote. Okay, remember this is over the phone. I'm not desperate to fight him just for the sake of money or material things. I'm not the one seeking this fight. Semicolon. Rather, it's the boxing fans all over the world. Who talks like that? Nobody talks like that in English or in Tagalog.
That's true.
Nobody.
That's a good point.
Hold on. Above all, I challenge him to include in our fight contract that both of us will not receive anything out of this fight. We will donate the proceeds from this fight, -M- guaranteed prize, should there be any, gate receipts, pay-per-view and endorsements, -, to charities around the world. I've carved non-restrictive clauses in the sentences Manny Pacquiao's talking in Tagalog. Garbage.
Mm.
Can almost guarantee you these quotes are fabricated.
That's true.
I have carved my own niche in the annals of boxing. Nobody talks like that.
Especially not Pacquiao. Like
this is why we have Morgan on the show.
In English or in Tagalog. I bet you, let's ask our Filipino friends. Does Tagalog even have a word for annals? I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it. This is a fraud, first of all.
Okay.
Second of all, even if it was true, why would a guy named Money Mayweather fight for free? To say let's fight for free, it's just to say let's not have the fight.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I can almost guarantee you that this story is fake.
Well, let's move to the next article because this is also from TheEnquirer.net. Richard Sherman says Floyd Mayweather is a bitch.
No disrespect, Floyd.
Geno Smith. Quarterback for the Jets got kicked off a plane after a dispute last week. He boarded a Los Angeles to Florida flight Friday afternoon for a trip home. He got involved in a dispute with a flight attendant over his headphones, left the plane, and was questioned by airport police at the gate. Smith wasn't arrested. The police didn't file an incident report. But obviously he missed his flight. The altercation was triggered when a Virgin America flight attendant asked Smith to remove his headphones. Smith didn't immediately respond because he didn't hear the flight attendant. Duh.
This happens. He got his headphones on.
This happens to me all the time where people are like, hey man, so let me ask you about this thing. And I'm like, and hey man, you ain't hear me? No, that's what the headphones are for. To not hear you.
Ear raping you. He got ear raped, man.
The flight attendant unplugged Smith's headphones and threw them down.
What?
Telling the quarterback he was a threat.
What?
He told him he was a threat and asked him to leave the plane. According to the source, Smith requested to speak with the police. That's right. The quarterback, Smith, he's the one who asked to talk to police because he knew he was in the right. While declining to confirm or deny that the person questioned was Smith, Nettle said police responded to an incident on board an aircraft. The subject was questioned and released. Smith was removed from the plane by police that he asked to speak to. and he didn't have to be escorted out of the terminal. Police didn't go on the aircraft. The subject was already at the gate when they arrived. Smith was seen on the TMZ video leaving the airport on his own and then stepping into a car service town car that arrived to pick him up. It didn't take long for the altercation to hit the internet. Within moments, there were photos of Twitter of Smith speaking to police officers at the gate and a video of him walking out the terminal. Asked about the dispute, a TMZ cameraman at the airport, Smith said, "Don't believe that." An unnamed airport official told the New York Post that Smith sparked the dispute because he refused to stop talking on his cell phone before takeoff. I love when they throw these cover stories in. Like, my question in all of these is, who asked you to lie? Like, who's the person that said, hey, Captain, I need you to come out here and just tell him the guy was on the phone, please. Can you just do that? Like, because you know that, like, I always wonder when that comes up, because it's not what witnesses saw. It's not what the guy admitted to. But somehow it always ends up being some type of, well, you know, he was walking around with his dick out and we had to get him off the plane. It's like, are you going to be able to confirm
that? Never running into problems doing that, though, remember?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. He had problems doing that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was over Keller Winslow.
He was texting photos of his stuff to like his jump off. Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing, man. We've always said on this show, continues to be the case. Geno Smith can't tell if he's really smart or really stupid.
It was smart for him to go get the police himself.
Right. This is all like I'm reading the story. I'm like, that was smart. That was smart. Good job. Wait, you got kicked off the plane? What the fuck? The captain ordered him off the plane. Virgin America refused to rebook him. We are aware of the internet report and we are researching the fact, the jet team spokesman said. We will have no comment at this time. Captain embarrassing day. This happened the same day that Kevin Winslow was jerking it to Target.
Man, no, he was going to Boston Market, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I call it. That's what the kids are calling it now. It's like, you know, hopefully before my girl gets home, I have time to watch Siri and go to Boston Market, if you know what I mean, make this quick trip.
Now, if he said the Caribbean Hut and he was going to get some jerk chicken,
mm-hmm.
It'll sound a little more reasonable.
Well, here's the thing. Geno Smith has received an apology. So for their story, whatever they say he did wrong, within 6 days, they decided, my bad, we were the ones who were wrong. The airline released statements through the jets. Neither party provided any details as to what actually happened. After a full review of the incident, we believe it was the result of a misunderstanding that regrettably escalated unnecessarily. We've apologized to Mr. Smith for his experience, which could have gone better, and we welcome him back on board anytime. As an airline that prides itself on guest service, we take incidents such as this one very seriously. As Smith said, I really appreciate that Virgin America took this seriously, looked into this matter, and followed it up with me. I look forward to flying their airline again soon. So, someone got some free miles.
He's flying for my favorite price. I can't be mad at that. $3.99.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, too, because that makes him look really smart to me.
I wonder
6 days later, he's getting free miles, and they're issuing public apologies. That's a moment where this is one of those moments where I'm like, Geno Smith, really smart. And then in a week, we'll be covering some bullshit he did. We'll be like, don't know.
I wonder if he could transfer those and give them to like his cousin Roscoe from Martin and let Roscoe get on the plane. Then let them see the difference from you messing with Gino and you messing with my cousin.
Yeah, Roscoe wouldn't have got off no plane.
I can't believe she threw his headphones on the ground. We know he not getting the regular Dude. Headphones I'm getting. We know he got
Beats
$300 headphones. Right. We know this.
He probably was sitting up there just chilling, minding his fucking business, man.
He probably had another quarterback headphones on. I'm not going to mention that light-skinned, disrespectful quarterback name. Mm-hmm. But he probably had that guy's headphones, Beats by Dre.
Yeah,
headphones.
he probably was sitting over there listening to his shit.
Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Excuse me.
Sir, what?
Black man.
What, did you just throw my headphones on the ground? Are you fucking crazy?
Get off your cell phone.
Do you know who the fuck I am?
Get off your cell phone.
I'm not on my cell phone.
I'm trying to tell you. Look here, nigga.
I just want to talk to the cops.
Look here, nigga.
Bring the police in.
Get your ass off my plane. You ain't that shit for the Jets all season. You sorry ass quarterback.
I had you on my fantasy team. What is this bullshit? Get off my plane. Oh, you want to talk to the cops? I'll get the cops. I got your fucking cops. I'll be right back.
She ain't got the own flight, sheriff, deputy. It's not even in uniform.
She ain't got two cops that's in her fantasy league that had the Jets receivers on them and they've been talking shit. Like, they was like, this for our fantasy team. Get the fuck off. Did you guys hear about the new coach for the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, excellent hire.
I heard about it. I don't know much about the guy.
Fresh out of Canada, Mike Poutine. Petit Nene. Here's the thing that I like about this hire. Everybody's laughing at it because they don't know anything about him. Like, this is not even some like, oh, he's such a terrible coach and we know because he did this, this, and this. It's just everybody being like, the Browns hired this dude. We've never heard of him. Therefore, he sucks. That's it. Right.
Furthermore, why getting rid of Trent Richardson was not smart.
Okay. Anyway, you're gonna hang on to that agenda till Trent Richardson's gonna be dead and only have average 1 yard per carry for the rest of his career.
Hey, what do you call Trent Richardson's hairstyle?
I don't know.
Never even seen what he looks like. He could be an Asian.
A test,
you guys supposed to say locks.
Okay.
We don't know what he looks like.
I think he got dreadlocks.
We don't watch Cleveland or Indianapolis games.
Yeah, he got dreadlocks. That's what's holding him back. That's why he can't get no 4 yards, dog.
I didn't even know he was black. He could have been Asian. Yeah. Anything.
Trey Richardson can't score. He can't get 4 yards, man. Can we talk about this? Anybody else can fall forward for 3 to 4 yards. This dude cannot get out of his own way. It really is amazing. Dwayne Wade is sitting out some games for the Heat. It used to be, he'd sit out like a game on the back to back. This latest time, it has been like over a week now, I think. Man. And people are starting to ask questions about Dwayne Wade and his knees, man.
They asking, does he have a court date with his baby mama? That's really why he not at the games. He got to go back and forth to court between her. Savon sending him texts like, remember when I used to rub them knees, you didn't have to miss a game.
That's true. You know what's funny about this to me is that they're like, well, it's not that he can't play. We're just resting his knees. We're going to give him a break. And I'm like, how do you know he's not going to show up with a baby from another team if you give him a break? Dwayne Wade don't do good.
He'll be playing on another team.
He might be playing someplace else because he's on break.
Yeah. Right.
He's playing,
he don't understand.
Playing the USBL. Like, well, we were on break, man. I thought I could go play for this team in Pensacola.
He don't understand what a break means. Yeah. He'll understand what breaks mean, dog. He's not good with the vernacular of going on a break. He'll fuck around and be playing for the Nets.
Yeah, when he showed up to that Miami Duke game the other day, he would have played if Kobe and LeBron weren't there.
Right. He's like, oh shit, y'all here? Well, nah, I just came to watch. Why you watching in your sweats though? I just came to watch, bro.
He's out there triple jumping, making his knees even worse. He's finding the hardest thing to do on his knees. He's like, yo, I'm on break, man. I can do what I want.
Also, what's one thing that was kind of bad for my knees when my knees be hurt all the time? Too much sex. Too much freaky groupy sex can be hard on the knees, man. Like, you might need to slow down.
But your ab game will be on point.
Go yes, home. It will be. It will be. But go home and be a family man, Dwayne Wade.
You got like 5 kids now? He got almost as many kids as Dwight Howard.
Yeah, that's true.
They having a contest.
Yeah, without the rep. And somehow did not get the rep of being a sucker. But yeah, just.
Well, the key is to write a book about what a great dad. And he might be a great dad, right? But. Mm-hmm. You write the book about what a great dad you are and people think you're virtuous, and he might be virtuous. This is the same thing we had with Adrian Peterson. He might love all his kids. He just happens to like unprotected sex. Both of these characteristics can exist in the same person.
He also doesn't like pulling out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He also thinks a break means you get a break from condoms.
He also believes in dishonesty.
Yeah. So, you know, the All-Star game got announced. People that made it. Dwayne Wade was one of the people that makes it. So during the All-Star break, expect some more little waves to be popping up. LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Paul George, and Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo is the center.
What? did they do away with the you need a center? Did they do away with that? Because I was going to say that's weird.
It's like playing pickup basketball and everyone's 5'11", right? Okay, I guess we're not going to have a center. We're just going to run.
And
stay on the perimeter.
As far as the Western Conference, the starters are Kobe.
West side.
Kobe plans to not play, by the way. Do y'all think he should play just because the fans voted? Or are you guys like, yeah, sit your old ass down. You hurt.
Not sit your old ass down, but just take a break, man.
Okay, you earned it. What about you, Morgan? What you think? You
know, listen, when you're at the point where you're just sustaining, you know, non-contact injuries for no reason, it's actually, yeah, less is more for Kobe. You should probably sit.
Yeah. Stephen Curry, who has the best jump shot of all time, according to Kevin Durant. No need to look that one up. Kevin Durant, a.k.a. the Slim Reaper, best nickname in the game right now, especially because he hates it. That's how you know it's a good one.
And who gave it to him?
some fan gave it to him on Reddit like a year or two ago. And it just now got popular because he's up this point scoring or something. I don't know why people just caught on to it, but that's way better than the Durantula. Blake Griffin and Kevin Love round out the West Coast.
How did Blake Griffin get on dunks? That's dunk. Right. People just want to see dunks.
I don't watch the Clippers a whole lot. Like, is Blake Griffin actually a good basketball player, or does he just come up with these dunks and make people forget that the rest of the time he's not doing much?
He's a middling basketball player as far as skill wise, in my opinion.
Right. Yep.
But he be dunking on dudes so hard that.
And like, so often.
Yeah, like if I had to make my vote for the All-Star team, he would make my top five for the West because he be dunking on fools, man. And that you need that. Like,
at an All-Star game.
Yeah, people act like we want to see. Yeah, I don't want to see Tim Duncan's good fundamentals in the fucking All-Star game. I want to see people get dunked on.
Yeah, we played with a guy like that at the Y. He could jump out the fucking gym. This dude could jump, but he was trash.
Trash.
And you would lose so many games playing with him.
The worst.
Because all he could do in his brain was dunk. Right. Even though he had other intangibles that would make the game so much easier.
Yep. He just wanted to dunk.
Biggest dude in the gym, but he would consistently lose.
Yep. Rounding out the rest of the team, Roy Hibbert, Chris Bosh, KG.
Bosh made the team?
Yeah.
The perks of being on the Heat.
And this is weird. I guess it's just the most votes or whatever. So this is the top 15 people who got votes. So I don't know if they all made the team, but, Andre Drummond, who should be starting if they would have let centers in. Plays for Detroit. He dunks on fools so hard.
I haven't seen Detroit play at this.
He looks so angry. He is like the perfect fit for Detroit.
And he's young.
Right.
Like, where'd he get all this anger from?
Hey, man.
Dude, you are rich and 20. This must be living in Detroit.
Hey, I was going to say, living in Detroit will make you angry.
He would be higher if people just watched basketball. Because no fucking way Kevin Garnett, Joakim Noah should be over this dude. He should be right below Roy Hibbert and Chris Bosh. Anyway, John Wall, Derrick Rose, Ray Allen, they also got votes. Rondo got votes somehow, and I think he's played like two games.
Three. He went terrible. Worse shooting than when he left. He only had time to practice a jumper. How did your shooting get worse?
And Lance Stephenson got seventh most votes in the backcourt. That's just not right, man. Lance having a good year.
Lance, he's been killing since the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And more under more control. Which is crazy because now that means he took all those and one moves with control and they cannot stop him.
The worst part is if Kobe Bryant doesn't start, then I wonder if that just moves the next highest vote getter in because that's Chris Paul.
He's hurt too.
Yeah, so hopefully we don't see Chris Paul, man, because we shouldn't be rewarding people that punch people in the nuts.
Ever, ever in life.
Lolo Jones got selected to be on the Olympic team as a bobsledder.
You know, low-key, she can almost make you like crazy, excluding the virginity part.
No, she can't.
Just and it's mainly because she's so desperate.
No, you're attracted to her, not me. It's not. It doesn't work
the other way around.
Yeah, it's worse.
Crazy can make you forget how good-looking someone is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because she's athletic. Maybe it's because she light skinned. Well, maybe it's because she has money.
Hard, man.
Maybe it's because she has money. I don't know.
I've never had sex with a crazy person, but I hear it's tremendous. But I would prefer not to know. I'll just be ignorant on that because Lolo is like a blank sheet of paper to me. Like if she was in this room, it's like the Predator when he has on his night vision. And if she or infrared, and if she was wearing like a suit that just covered her body heat. That's how it is to me. See, like, I can't see her.
You say you don't enjoy crazy? So when I say this, with all due respect.
Obviously.
With all due respect. Carrie could low-key be crazy.
Come on, man.
And not on the same level as them.
No, I would
know. But I've been in a room where we'll have a regular conversation during the podcast, and Karen go from, you know what? These motherfuckers ain't shit. I would cut them motherfuckers in the neck. And I'd be like,
Karen listens to this.
And I low key slide closer to the door.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Karen listens to this show.
I'd be concerned.
She might be in the chat
room.
You
might be used to it.
You know she's in the house.
I'd be concerned.
Like she's off work and she's in the house.
See, that's
right now.
A man that's used to do a little crazy.
Yeah.
He trying to warn me.
I'm just trying to tell you. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to tell you, bro.
Karen know I love her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Karen like my sister. I got her back.
Hey man, too late now. But yeah, Lolo made it, man, and people are kind of upset, I guess, because apparently there were more deserving people that got put off the team because she got put on, and people assume it's because she's popular, which seems like might be the case because it is the Olympics and she is a household name.
How about she's in shape and been in the Olympics like five times in a row and might know what she's doing?
Has she been in it for Olympic bobsledding, though?
Man. What?
I like how he act like it didn't matter. No?
It didn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It might matter.
Not in bobsledding. It doesn't.
What if it was like curling or some shit?
Then it might. Maybe I don't know. Women's curling. She seems pretty in shape. I have to see her. She's been practicing for 3 years.
If there's like normal sports, like track and field, right? You run at the trials, and if you make the top three, you make the team. If you're outside the top three, you don't make the team. They don't sit there and look at how you're doing on the circuit and say, well, I know these other people have been kicking your ass all year, but we're going to put you in anyway because somehow you give us the best chance to win. Which is what happened with bobsled is that, especially in the two-person bobsled, there's a couple of different teams that are allowed to go, but, you know, Lolo's pair wasn't in the top three fastest, yet somehow Lolo's pair goes. Right. And then this other person that's been like, oh, wait a minute. I've been pushing this thing all year and me and my driver have been beating Lolo and her driver. Why do they go and we don't go? I mean, it's a legitimate gripe, but at the same time, when the selection process is subjective, if you're USA bobsled, because USA bobsledding keeps saying, well, we were not under any pressure. NBC didn't tell us to put Lolo on the team, but NBC doesn't have to tell you to put Lolo on the team. You understand that NBC is going to like it better if you put Lolo on the team. This is like, this is like saying, like, if you're a woman that wants to score points with her husband, you give him oral sex. Like, he didn't have to tell you that you should do that for him. You know he'll like it. So boom,
he comes home,
you hit the floor. That's what gets done, right? So NBC is like, they don't have to go to the USA bobsled and say, hey, put Lolo on that team. You understand? that TV's mm-hmm. gonna like Lolo on the team.
Yeah. And also, it's also a little bit weird though, because like the Olympics, that like the way it's promoted to us is that there's these athletes mm-hmm. out here who have this dream all their lives to one day make it by just being the best at this shit that no one really cares about. Yep. And they only have one shot to ever medal or make money, or sometimes if they're really, really good, two yep. or three shots at most. And, it's like, yeah, fuck that. She got more Twitter followers. Bye. Like, it just, right. and fuck your dream.
Well, here's the thing. She's been tweeting out photos for like 3 years, paychecks and everything. Mm-hmm. I would have been upset if she didn't go. I'd be like, well, why were y'all playing games with Lolo? Why was she working out with y'all all this time if you weren't going to select her? Mm-hmm. Like, she's actually a household name. Nobody knows these other people. Mm-hmm. Get them out of here. You might, people so might actually watch
so
Bob's.
Let me ask you this, man. Do you think NBA players that don't make the dream team in the Summer Olympics should just like sign up for like water polo or some shit and be like, yeah, man, apparently Elton Brand is now playing water polo for the USA.
Well, some of these guys, like
Tim Duncan could, yes.
Some of those guys could probably be really good at team handball.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A lot of the skills transfer, man.
Right.
But it wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, when you're NBC, because the other thing with NBC, because there's no Lindsey Vonn in this year's Olympics, there's no Apollo Anton, the speed skater that everyone loved, he's not skating. So there was like this big dearth of star power, right? So for them to have a chance, and bobsled realizes this, right? And they realize, okay, we have X track people on our team, but they're not all Lolo. If we get Lolo out there, then our sport's going to get a lot more spotlight, period. Because the difference between Lolo sliding and Lolo not sliding is being live on primetime or being, you know, part of the overnight pre-recorded package on NBC Sports Network. You know what I'm saying? And bobsled, USA Bobsled understands that. They're not dumb. And again, they don't need NFL. They don't need NBC to tell them. They just understand.
And no disrespect to any Russians mm-hmm. or Russia, but she actually doing you a favor. You don't want to go to Russia. Like, you're going to have to spend the whole time at the Olympics behind a wall that may or may not be safe.
Right.
We saw what they do on the other side of the wall in Germany. She doing you a favor. Stay home.
You know,
all praise Allah. Yeah.
That's a little bit weird to me because, you know, the U.S., we had an attack on our soil during the Olympics before in Atlanta.
Yes.
And it really, like, I'm not going to watch the Olympics. And before I used to just say it's because I don't care. But for the first time ever, I'm just conscientiously objecting to this shit because I hate the nationalism around it. I hate how they try to turn everything into politics. And it's really no longer about the game shit. I mean, the Lolo Jones shit notwithstanding, obviously it's because she's more popular and stuff. And I get the reasons for it. But the purity of the sport is already fucked up when you go, but she got the Twitter followers and she's a household name. Like, you're already admitting, like, we don't give a fuck about these actual games or right. being the best or meddling or any of this shit. The only time they're going to use the Olympics is to talk about how many medals we totaled. And people are going to pretend to care about shit they never know. They don't watch normally. And they won't watch when it comes back to America. It's not like curling is only happening one time in the world. Somewhere out there, motherfuckers curling right now off of West Boulevard and nobody's watching. But, the problem I have is shit like what you just said, where they're painting Russia as like, oh, don't go to Russia. You go over there, they gonna kill everybody. And it's like, really? We would send our athletes there if we thought they were just going to die?
It's the
like
Winter that, Olympics, bro.
It doesn't even matter.
They don't care about the Winter Olympics.
It doesn't even matter. But it's the reason, it's what they care about is that it's in Russia. And they're just trying to make it, Russia is the worst right now. We're not friends with Russia, so everything they do is terrible. They're more homophobic than us, apparently, even though we don't have marriage equality in most of our states.
Yeah. Prior to even that though, law, I was cool with it.
Yeah, even though we still have sodomy on the books in almost every state as a law that if you would like to arrest some gay people for having sex, you throw that in there because you can put people in jail for being gay. But we have suddenly hit this moral high ground. I think I said on Twitter where I was like, America's like the fat person that just started working out, lecturing the world about working out. Like, hey guys, did you know there's carbs in that? You're like, Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, as I said on your Facebook page, you get the best fitness advice from the fat people who just started working.
Right. Man. We are
not recumbent bike. Hey, hey, hey. Don't go too hard, man. You're leaving the fat burning zone. You want to be in the fat burning zone.
Right.
I love fat people. Recently reformed fat people fitness advice.
It's amazing, dude. We are so righteous right now that I'm not watching this shit. It's turned me off because it's just so political. There's no sport to it anymore. It's just a bunch of political shit, and I'm not watching it.
I'm watching Lolo wear some tights and push that little thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Bobsled.
I catch the steel shots. Fuck that.
Watch her close her eyes as she go down the hill.
My problem with the Winter Olympics is different when you live in Canada, right? Because here's what Canada does sports wise is that Canada gets into sports before other countries get into them, and then smashes everybody because no one else is playing. And then when other countries start playing the sport, Canada says, hey, well, what happened to our dominance in that sport? We must be slipping. No, you're not slipping. Just other people started playing. And the Winter Olympics is by definition not a global competition because only half the world is involved. Like one, you have to be in a country that's far enough north to be able to play these things. And then two, your country has to have enough money because all these sports, every single winter sport, requires a lot of money, right? Skiing's not cheap. Hockey is prohibitively expensive. So this is the problem I have with the Winter Olympics. It's not like the talent, just like we were talking about talent pools before, like women's hockey, men's hockey. We'll start with men's hockey. You know, there's 12 teams in the tournament. I don't think there's a single country in the world that wanted to be in this tournament that is not at this tournament and disappointed. You know what I'm saying? World Cup soccer has 32 countries, right? But there are, you know, any number of countries that didn't make the World Cup are like, damn it, we want to be in the World Cup so bad we didn't make it. We're on the outside looking in. No one's saying that about Olympic hockey. Like, Mexico's not sitting there talking about, oh, man, no clasificamos para el Olímpico para hockey. Like, they don't care. The world. Hockey is 12 countries. That's it.
Right.
Probably actually only 10 of them are good. So, like, don't tell me this is a global competition. It's only 10 countries. And then women's hockey is even worse because it's Canada and the U.S. And every year Canada trumpets, like, we get a medal in women's hockey. Like, okay, great. Like, you guys are out here beating up on countries where women can't vote.
Right.
They
right.
can't even vote in this country. There's not going to be a lot of them play hockey. So, okay, 18-1 versus Kazakhstan. And you will see this, like, open up the paper, front page, Canada women's hockey 18-1 over Kazakhstan. You know what? Great. Again, women in Kazakhstan, there's all kinds of stuff they can't do. Hockey is not a high priority. But this is my problem with the Winter Olympics, is just that it's biased and slanted towards people from countries in a certain part of the world and above a certain median income. Right. It's not a global competition. I don't care who – I'm not sexist. I just don't give a damn who wins women's hockey because it's only Canada and the U.S. When a third country comes in and beats Canada and the U.S., I'll be the happiest guy on the – maybe not on the planet, but in right. the newsroom for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, shout out to Cool Runnings also because Jamaica can get some. They got involved. Exactly. The NFL could allow medical marijuana, says Commissioner Goodell. I said they would consider allowing the use of medical marijuana if experts deem it a valid treatment for concussions and other head injuries. Here's the thing. One, I think he's doing this so they can just not test for it, which is smart.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Vaughn says thank you.
Yeah. Number two, Commissioner Goodell always does this shit right that week between the Super Bowl. Because there's nothing to talk about in the NFL except for the Super Bowl. And he always starts dropping little shit right there where he's like, you know, we're thinking about moving the Super Bowl to Europe. And then everybody goes crazy. And then he never brings it up again. So I saw this and I was like, yeah, that cool story, bro. Bring this shit up in September or July when you guys are having your meeting. Then we'll discuss it.
Did someone bring it up to him and he was like, yeah, that's possible? Or was he just like, you know what, guys?
Yeah.
I think I want to consider this medicinal marijuana.
Yeah, right. And not to mention, this is about the same time last year you brought up that we wouldn't be having celebrations for touchdowns. Mm. And then they passed the rules of no celebrations for touchdowns that actually did not interrupt anybody's celebrations for touchdowns. Which is the same shit we've always had, but just don't spin the ball on a first down, but on a touchdown, it's fine. It's like, well, then get the fuck out of here. Anyway. Police released a report against Darren Sharper. I don't know if you guys heard about this. He got arrested.
No, I kept hearing like people alluding to it, but what was the report?
He got arrested Friday. What'd you say?
What he used to play in football, I know. But yeah. Like what position? Like,
I want to say defensive back. Safety
that couldn't tackle.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, he couldn't tackle. Got a lot of picks. Sharper has not been arrested or charged for the alleged crime. The case remains under investigation. However, Sharper was arrested last week in Los Angeles on an unrelated charge of suspicion of rape in two separate alleged incidents. According to the NOPD report, an unnamed woman alleged that Sharper raped her on the morning of September 23rd, my birthday, after they met at a bar and he took her to his apartment in the Central Business District. According to the report, which was made on the morning of the 24th, the accuser stated that she consumed a large amount of alcohol at a couple of bars. She said she met Sharper at one of the bars and he later took her to his apartment and sexually assaulted her. She said she did not consent to any sexual encounter. Last week, Sharper was arrested and booked and released on $200,000 bail in Los Angeles. The LAPD said it's investigating Sharper in connection with two sexual assaults that occurred in the West Los Angeles area.
Damn it, man.
One in October and one this month. Sharper was a five-time Pro Bowler who spent his career in Green Bay, Minnesota, and New Orleans before retiring in the 2010 season. He works as an analyst for the NFL Network, and he has been suspended without pay. The scariest thing about this is if it's three different women in three different areas, it's harder, not impossible, but it's harder to imagine that everybody's just making it up and framing him and lying on him,
right.
You know, like it's really hard to imagine three different people had misunderstandings with a guy sexually.
I wonder,
especially if these events unfold like in the same way, and you start learning that this person just has a technique and a routine. Like, how could they all be making it up?
Right.
I wonder what the rape numbers were at those other teams he played for. Like you said, when he was in.
Well, you know what happens a lot of times is when one person comes forward, if this is a thing that you've been doing, other people start coming forward. Because a lot of times the courage people need is from that one person being like, this happened to me. And then it's like, you know what? He did that to me too. It's the same thing I was thinking about with Jameis Winston when I was like, if this happens, like, I feel like we'll never really know what the fuck happened because too many adults got involved and too much politics and sports got involved. But if he is a quote unquote rapist, that shit will happen again. Those people have sex that way. It's a power thing. That will happen again if he did do it. So it might not happen this week. It might not happen next year. It might happen 5 years from now. But at some point, it'll go, Jameis Winston involved in another alleged sexual assault? Man, that is a very weird coincidence. Hopefully, it never happens again. We never hear about it. Hopefully, it was a misunderstanding and everything will be okay with between all the parties at some point. But, this is the kind of shit I was talking about. Three different people be like, I got raped. That's a lot, bro. That's a lot. It is.
Light bulb moment.
I ain't saying he did it.
And either way, even if he thought it was all consensual, three different accusations.
Yeah.
If you have a conscience, if you're just even a little bit self-aware, have to prompt you to start thinking about the way you're going about these sexual transactions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, what am I doing? Because you can always say, oh, no, it's her, man. Something's wrong with her. But like, well, what are you doing wrong?
Right. Three times? Three
different people? If you're not doing anything, even if you believe in your heart you're not doing anything illegal, if this many of your sexual transactions, interactions lead to people thinking that they've been raped.
Right.
Or claiming that they've been raped. So even if, even if every single one of these women is just making up lies, right, and making up stories about Darren Sharper, then I have to start asking myself if I'm Darren Sharper. Okay, well, should I, because I am completely innocent.
Right.
Shouldn't I change my selection process? Because I seem to keep winding up with the same type of woman.
Right.
Even if I'm completely 100% innocent and this sex was completely consensual.
Something got to change.
Why do I keep winding up with these women who the next day say, hey, wait a minute, I feel violated.
Something got to change.
There has to be women that's into what he's into.
You say that, man, but that would, I mean, if allegedly, if it was rape, that violates the tenets of rape. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that, like, in order for it to be that, that person cannot be into it.
See, Mike Tomlin found someone that would play that role for Ben Roethlisberger.
You always go here. Let's go to the next
one. So I'm just saying that they could find someone that would play that role for him. That's because there are people that are into it. Like, you know, the people that women is and men that's in the, I think they call it dominatrix.
Yeah, like BDSM, but it's still not the same. Cause that is still,
but those people at the core consent screened, right? Cause that's this kind of stuff you kind of talk about before you're going to do something like that.
At the core, consent is what it boils down to.
I heard.
And rape is sex without consent. Yes. So no form of that can replace, in my opinion, whatever these dudes are getting from this shit. Cause these dudes are in positions where they can find, they can find the freaky niche type of sex they want if that's all it was.
I'm just saying, can't someone that knows him and cares about him just find this woman and just be like, look, he's going to be at this bar on this night. I know this is what you're into. Make it work. You know what I mean? Like, just save him. Help him against himself.
I don't think that's, I don't think that's what it is.
This is why we have to put Justin on the premium show.
They did it for Ben Roethlisberger.
Behind the paywall.
They can do it for him.
Here's the thing though, too.
Worst case scenario.
Go ahead, Morgan.
I was going to say worst case scenario. He's a serial rapist. Again, even best case scenario, this guy has real problems.
Right.
Choosing partners. That's best case scenario, man.
And I would like
choosing the worst of the worst, the most unstable of the unstable.
I would like to throw out there the possibility with the internet now. It is possible three people decided to frame him. Like, that is possible, because there's like entire websites dedicated to like groupies who are just like trying to chase down these athletes and shit.
That is true.
So it is possible that, and I'm actually surprised it hasn't happened yet, that like three chicks from like Baller Alert don't just fuck the same dude and then just be like, hey, we want some money or we're going to the police. Like, surprise, because three people's word against yours does make you seem guiltier than one. So, it will be interesting to see.
But I just don't understand, though. I don't understand what the appeal is in doing this to an ex-NFL star.
Right, yeah, that's true.
If an NFL star is this sexy, an ex-NFL star, you know what I mean?
Right.
He still has a job, though.
Okay, great.
I meant to preface that with no disrespect to him or Ben Roethlisberger. Right, no disrespect.
Rashay Caldwell got arrested. In a gambling sting. Former NFL wide receiver. I wonder if his eyes gave him away. Like, are you doing anything illegal? His eyes are just like, Rashay Caldwell was one of eight men arrested during a police bust, of an illegal gambling operation in Florida. Oh, Florida. On Sunday, according to Tampa Bay Times, Caldwell was charged with running an illegal gambling house and bookmaking. He also is alleged to be one of three ringleaders of the group. The 34-year-old was arrested on bail of $4,000 on Monday. The receiver hasn't played since 2007. He has played in eight games for the Washington Redskins in 2007, which makes sense. The former second round pick spent six seasons in the league after being drafted by the Chargers. So yeah, man, got tied to some illegal gambling operation, man. I wonder if he was the mastermind or what. Ex-Cowboy Brent, Josh Brent, he has avoided prison. He's a guy who was driving drunk and his teammate got killed when they got in a car crash. The family forgave him, but it made big news. He ended up getting kicked off the team and stuff. He's going to only get 180 days in jail and 10 years of probation. So that's a lot.
That's nice that family forgave him. It really is. That's all I can say about that.
I mean, you know, that's the thing, though, man. Like, they probably were both drinking and shit. They probably routinely did that. A lot of times, you know, people hop into cars, slizzard and shit, man. They just think it's a way of life, living on the edge. We're athletes. And, you know, I know Bobby Fields, when he died here, and David Wesley, and he were racing.
Yeah.
And people started blaming David Wesley. It's like, Bobby Fields hopped in that car knowing they were going to go racing. They used to do it routinely.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you know, like sometimes, I mean, I'm not blaming the quote unquote victim here, but just saying that, it's not always just the one who lives, obviously, the asshole. Like, if both of y'all were drunk and I hop in the car with you and you drive off and kill me, it's on me too, you know. And that just is a dangerous way of living, man. So rest in peace, Paul Walker, and be careful, Justin Bieber, man. Did you guys know 1 in 3 football fans have asked God to help their team win?
I'm surprised it's only 1 in 3.
Yeah, it should be. It should, those numbers should be higher.
Yeah,
I think 1 in 3 admit to asking, and another 1 in 3 have done it but don't want to admit it.
Yeah, right. 1 in 3 will admit to it. Yeah, 1 in 3 haven't said that. That
well, also if you subdivide those fans by geography and by which team, mm-hmm. right? So like maybe not, because I guarantee you, in an SEC stadium, right? If Alabama's playing Florida, yeah, because Florida's in Gainesville, that's North Florida, that's Redneck Florida. I guarantee you, 100,000 people in that stadium, 100,000 people have asked God to help either Alabama Crimson Tide or Florida Gators, right? Whereas like Rutgers, someplace in the Northeast, where people are more cosmopolitan, mm-hmm. you know, they're not asking, like Rutgers Scarlet Knight fans are not asking God to help them.
Yeah.
You know, Northwestern Wildcats fans are not asking God to help them, but.
Like in Seattle, they're just like, may a cosmic coincidence.
Exactly.
Well, I'm 1 out of 3.
Make the mathematical probability of us winning the outcome of this game.
Florida versus Georgia. Everybody's God, please help us win this game. Everybody's praying.
Yeah. Well, I'm 1 out of these 3 that want Seattle to win this game, Super Bowl. So
you praying to God for it. Yep. 22% of all surveyed completely or mostly agreed that God plays an active role in determining the outcome of sporting events.
I bet you the rest of those people are atheists.
God sitting up there like,
God cares about sports.
So he must hate the Cowboys.
The rest of those people are atheists.
Yep, atheists. That's what I am. 48% of these surveyed completely or mostly agree that God rewards individual athletes for their faith. So Tebow was apparently going to somehow win the Super Bowl this year with Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson starting. 33% of football fans have prayed to God that the team will win. And to 21% of fans of other teams who have done the same. Let's see, 31% of football fans believe that team has been cursed, compared to 18% of fans of other sports. This varies geographically. In the Midwest, 33% say their team is cursed, but in the Northeast, the number is just 20%.
So if Seattle loses, then God hates Midwest, black people.
Because the Midwest will include Detroit Lions fans
and Chicago.
Right, who are much more likely to think their team, who are much more likely to think their team has been cursed than, you know, the Giants.
A 21% of sports fans have a ritual that they need to complete before or during the game to help their team win. Of those, 66% include wearing jerseys or some other piece of special clothing.
I've never understood that.
Yep.
Like, why would what I wear affect what happens?
Well, cause God is watching.
People are just pain.
God is watching.
So you don't have a ritual for anything?
Not for watching a game.
What about when you play?
Why would me putting on the Bears jersey, how would that affect what happens on the field?
I think I'm going to start coming up with some rituals. Like, I'm going to propose to my wife that, like, for now on, in order for Washington to win, we have to have a threesome. Every Sunday.
And then Washington's gonna go 0-16.
Well, we have to test this theory out first.
Right. That's gonna be the worst if she doesn't do it the first week and then y'all win. Like, apparently we don't need to. I guess God was wrong. Bill Belichick is blaming Wes Welker for hurting Aqib Talib. So, not much to say there other than Belichick's still petty as shit.
Yes.
It's about that time, guys. We gotta wrap up, but we never get out of here without talking about my man and your man, everybody's man. La 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 la. Hey Mamba, what's going on with Kobe Bryant? Kobe Bean Bryant is, you know, here.
Oh, man, when you said it's Mamba time, I thought you were talking about Roger Mayweather, who's the original Black Mamba. Man, y'all don't know shit about boxing.
Well, he should have came up with a Kobe system, and maybe we'd be talking about him. But, yeah, we definitely not talking about
who's shooting? Say again.
Roger Mayweather? Definitely not talking about Roger Mayweather. Let me see.
Black Mamba. Y'all crazy.
Let me see if I can find any news about Roger Mayweather. Bad left hook, apparently. This is the last. The last news article on Google Plus about him. He says, Amir Khan doesn't deserve to fight Floyd, but he can bring in viewers. That's the last thing Roger Mayweather had to say.
Amir Khan don't know shit about boxing.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather's uncle, trainer Roger Mayweather, thinks Khan will get to fight Floyd because he would bring in bigger numbers. Roger Mayweather interviews are always funny, whether he's going off about people not knowing shit about boxing or just giving his brutally honest opinion. He is always a treasure to listen to and decipher.
He probably can whoop somebody's ass as well, which is why he can voice his opinions the way he wants.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the audio.
You know, they talking, what do you think about Floyd and Amir Khan?
You got to post a picture of him in the chat.
That's okay. We're putting him in Amir Khan. He gonna get what he don't want. I mean, they said that. But.
Talking about if Floyd, some people say, well, Marcos Maidana, maybe the guy who beat Adrian Broner, maybe he could fight Floyd. What do you think of that?
I mean, that's okay. But I think Amir Khan would be a bigger fight.
A bigger fight?
Yeah.
But do you think Amir Khan deserves the fight?
Well, not really, but he only got really a name that you can really put on HBO. I mean, HBO like that, so.
Showtime, but still, yeah. You mean the major network.
Right, yeah, major network, you gotta have a guy that can stand up. You know, I mean, in order to get television to watch it. Gotcha. That's what you gotta do.
Now, at this stage of Floyd's career, what style is it going to take that might cause him trouble or to give him his best type of fight?
Boy ain't even old. Boy train all the time and motherfucking. Boy like a young man. Even though he's been fighting so many years. But at the same time, boy like a young man. Boy just. He do what he needs to do.
When you hit the mitts with him, you tell firsthand how ready he is, how sharp he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you see in him these days, this year?
I see he's keeping hands in. Floyd ain't just about boxing. Floyd is a skilled motherfucker. He's a skilled motherfucker. He ain't just a boxer. He's well skilled. That's cute.
Thanks.
All right. So there you have it from the horse's mouth. Roger Mayweather.
Boxing media is full of these little independent journalists who run back and forth between camps, just like spreading inflammatory quotes to provoke an answer. So every single one of these guys that interviews Roger Mayweather is just. You saw the guy doing it there. He's just trying to get the sound bite. They're just trying to bait him into just going off on how somebody sucks, which is what they kept saying that about Amir Khan, because they want him to say, yeah, Amir Khan, he don't know shit about boxing. He can't, my nephew, Amir Khan. They want to bait Roger Mayweather into saying that. And everybody's looking for like the memorable classic rant from either Roger or
Mayweather
Floyd Senior. Yeah. So that's what that interviewer was trying to do.
All right. Well, to our
unrelated. Do you guys remember the guy that cried on Intervention?
Yeah, 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 yeah. That dude. How much I love you.
So he fought. He fought Roger Mayweather. He fought Roger Mayweather. I'm gonna post their fight in the chat room.
The actual fight. All right. Here is the This Week in Mamba. Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol warn the Heat how hard it is getting up for a third title run. There wasn't much left of the 2010-2011 Lakers, even before the Dallas Mavericks tore them to tatters, sweeping them out of the second round. There's even less left now. Just three players, Pau Gasol, Kobe Bryant, and Steve Blake from that squad remain employed by the Lakers, though one Only one, Paul Gasol, is currently ambulatory. As Brian and Blake heal themselves of their latest injuries, Brian often appeared anxious to avert his eyes during the Heat's 109 to 102 victory, a contest as choppy and unnecessarily challenging as so many of Miami's others this season. The Lakers don't have heroes anymore. They do, however, have historians. So it's interesting to hear the perspectives of Brian and Gasol as they watch the Heat try to do what they could not in the 2010-2011 championship, reach a fourth straight finals and win a third straight championship. We were in the exact same position, Gasol said. Just about, and while they won 57 games in 2010 and 2011, the same numbers the season before, there were some signs of sloth and slippage. They were 31-12 through 43 games, same record as the Heat hold now. But whenever they appeared to be rounding into elite form, they would fall back. For instance, they followed a stretch of 17 wins in 18 games in February and March by dropping five straight in April. It's not easy to sustain that motivation, that energy, that edge, said Gasol, especially when you start getting injuries from guys who have gone through long runs consecutively. Dwayne Wade.
But that's part of Dwayne Wade extracurricular activities.
Yeah, but still, the disease of more. More championship rings. Now you need more women, more children. The body also feels it. It is a difficult position to be in. It's a great position to be in, but at the same time, you start seeing maybe cracks here and there, and those cracks can open up later on. But every team and every situation is a little different, so I don't know exactly how they're doing it internally. Having a competitive spirit night after night is very, very tough to do for three championships in a row, four finals in a row, Kobe Bryant said. It's tough. It's tough to get guys going. The most important thing is being ready when the time is right. You got to make sure you have everybody healthy. Make sure your competitive spirit is ready to go. When the playoffs come around, that's really the most important time. It's like a malaise that kind of sets in with the team. Man, I like that. That's kind of like one of those quotes from that Pacquiao article. You expect to win and you want to win again. We didn't finish with the best record. We finished with the second best record in the West Conference, and things weren't clicking the first round. David West went down. This is what Gasol said. And we were supposed to have an easy first round against New Orleans, but we struggled, and the struggle continued in the second round, and we were done. Gasol said everything mattered and everything counted at the time. Probably our bodies, even if you don't want to think about it and try to fight through it, wear and tear happens. People are now speculating, could this happen to the Heat? Kobe Bryant says LeBron's been doing a fantastic job of keeping the guys going with his own energy. That's his responsibility, is to keep guys engaged. Then the time rolls around, hopefully the other guys will get charged up and ready to go as they move into the playoffs. Kobe out here being an elder statesman, declining to play in the All-Star game, giving advice to his young, you know, these are his little brothers in the league, man. Kobe, Carmelo, Dwayne Wade, these are all guys that look up to him. And here he is saying, like, look, don't learn from my mistakes. We couldn't get it done. Maybe you can.
I like how, too, Kobe kept saying to get the other guys motivated, but he was motivated.
Right.
And Gasol kept saying, I wasn't competing. What shows in Gasol's game today? Like, it's, yep. Gasol doesn't always compete the same. And he was Bynum's mentor, which is one of the reasons I think Bynum didn't always compete.
That's definitely the difference between Kobe and a lot of these secondary dudes, is that idea. Like, Kobe looks at it like, I know I'm the leader. It's up to me to feed the guys. And then look, Gasol's attitude was more like, we need to do better. We need to. It's like, well, if you remember that when y'all got swept, it was you. Like, yeah. I remember watching that being like, what the fuck is wrong with Paul Gasol? And everybody said it for four games until y'all got swept out of the playoffs. So, you know, it's a completely different mentality, man. And Mamba's trying to pass that down to LeBron James and these other guys, and hopefully they're listening, man.
Man, y'all have to see how the Kobe system, like, Kobe has the time to show up in Boston College, go to the school. Mm-hmm. He goes down to Miami, goes, watches the Duke Miami game, still
goes to a business class, by the way.
Right, still goes to another class while he's down there, still has time to do these uplifting interviews. Mm-hmm. And he's really just, Kobe said he does such a wonderful job of trolling. He's mm-hmm. really saying, LeBron, you doing a great job. Not D-Wade, mm-hmm. you are doing a great job with your energy.
Cause D-Wade ain't playing. D-Wade is Paul Gasol.
Yep. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Kobe, he said it without saying it.
Yeah.
Well, D-Wade isn't Pau Gasol. D-Wade, like, justifiably is getting beat up. Like, when D-Wade wasn't beat up, like, he played in a way that would lead to him getting beat up. Whereas Pau Gasol, let me tell you about 7-foot-tall basketball players. Mentored Bynum.
Wait, before you bring this up, how tall are you, Morgan?
Tall basketball player.
How tall are you, Morgan?
There's a big difference between, pardon me?
How tall are you before you tell the story?
I'm 5'7".
Okay.
But no. Okay. There's a big difference between a 7-foot-tall basketball player and anyone at basically any other height in the NBA. I don't know if you've read The Sports Gene, the book by David Epstein, and it talks about, you know, the really explores the link between your DNA and what you're going to do in sports and blah, blah, blah. And interesting statistic from that book is that 17% of, you know, 7-foot-tall men between 18 and 35 or whatever it is in the United States are in the NBA, right? Which means that you're going to get a lot of guys in the NBA who literally are like – literally are only there because they're 7 feet tall. They're there because they're really good at being 7 feet tall. You think about that as a percentage. You go into it, you get 7-foot tall guys together. Just selected at random. 7 foot tall. And then 17 of them are in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Can you think of any other demographic group this is like that overrepresented? So what that tells you is that there's a lot of guys who aren't necessarily there because they really want to be there. They're there because they just can't help being there. You can't help being 7 feet tall. Somebody's going to drive up to your house and say, look, man, here's $1 million for the year. Come play basketball because you're 7 feet tall. So you're going to get like a lot more of these guys who aren't super motivated because they didn't want to be there in the first place. They could not find a way to avoid being in the NBA because they're 7 feet tall. So this might be Andrew Bynum. I don't know if it's Greg Oden, but like people look at tall players and see, you know, sense that a lot of them aren't motivated, and they might be, but that maybe isn't necessarily their fault. They're 7 feet tall, damn it, and because such a large percentage in the world of 7 foot tall people play professional basketball, this is just what they wind up doing. Not necessarily because they like it. They might want to do something else, but damn it, they're 7 feet tall. Is what they got to do.
Well, that's a brilliant. That is a brilliant, astute, and elegant point that you just made. But I would still say, Pau Gasol, when he was good, was. Yep. Good to a level where it was Dwayne Wade, like where he was good enough to get a team that was mediocre to the playoffs and play good, but not good enough to, you know, take him to the finals or anything by himself. He's always needed help. And in the context of what the team is now, I think Wade is LeBron's Pau Gasol. Like, if they're going to need him to play well, if they want to win this next championship, if in the same way that they got swept when Pau Gasol was playing like shit, if Dwayne Wade gets to the playoffs and plays like shit against like the Pacers, they'll get swept too. So like they need him. And, that's all I mean. I don't think they're going to have the same level of career and all skill, but just roles on the team. You know what I mean? Like how people say so-and-so is the Scottie Pippen of this team. That's what I mean. He is the Pau Gasol in a relationship. LeBron is the Kobe Bryant in this relationship. And
so Dwayne Wade should like play once a week, play as little as possible between now and the playoffs.
Dude,
that's what he's doing.
That's what he's doing. And I think, like, honestly, people, it's going to be funny to see how people take it in the playoffs because I think if they can get, what is the playoffs? So like, what, 16, 20, something like 16 games, 12 games, something like that.
You gotta win 16.
Okay. You gotta win 16 games in a little over a month. If he's healthy for the playoffs for most of it, maybe not even the whole playoffs, maybe even just a series or two, then it's worth sitting him every day that you sat him.
Yeah.
And if not,
and then Eric Spoelstra can be like he can be the LeGarrette Blount of the NFL.
Right.
And everyone say, oh my goodness, Eric Spoelstra.
Genius!
He had Dwayne Wade on the bench.
Yeah.
Buried all down there. Anonymous player, a little used. Who knew this guy was that good? And everybody's happy.
And of course, if it doesn't happen, laughing stock of the league. Yeah. So,
exactly.
And LeBron has to leave.
Yeah, because nobody will mention the fact that he going to have Greg Oden knees explode during the game.
Yeah.
They'll be like, well, it was worth the sacrifice.
That's the other thing. They played him again this week. The fuck are they thinking?
He's logging consistent minutes, Greg Oden?
He's played four games this year so far.
And I think they're playing him right now to lower the price of getting Andrew Bynum. Cause it doesn't make sense to waste four of the 10 games that he's playing this year. This way. This seems like a totally frivolous way to waste his game.
Especially when you say you want him for the playoffs.
Right. Like, you guys are rolling the dice every time you try this shit.
And I think he'll play like 5 minutes, but right. It counts as a game.
That's a whole game. That's a game's worth of wear and tear on his knees. Because you gotta count the warm-ups, shoot arounds, walking from the gym to the locker room.
Right.
Getting on the bus. All that counts against his knees, man.
Post game interview for right. him and his knees.
No matter how many times he puts, I know that, you know, we teach kids, these guys to like, you know, drown out the negativity and shit like that. Play through pain. But, I don't care what Greg O is doing when he's on that team bus. He can't just throw on his headphones on his knees and act like time isn't happening to them knees.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Man, they really need to make our commercial with the headphones on Greg Oden's knees. Like, we really would be rich, dude. That would be better than Richard Sherman, is everybody sitting outside talking shit about Greg Oden on the bus, and then he puts the headphones on his knees.
He puts the headphones on the knees.
Yes.
And he covers up the part where the sound comes out of the knees.
Yeah.
Because they would sound like the crying man from the video you posted, Morgan. That's how his knees sound.
All right, man.
You know what he was doing for the 2 years when he wasn't in the NBA? His knees, he would wake up every morning and in the middle of the night sometime, and it would be like, oh, a nightmare. Honey, are you okay? I'm fine. It's just my knees, baby. Yeah. It's just my knees.
Well, put the headphones back on the knees.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
Then he just lays down and goes to sleep with that shit on his knees.
Right.
Man, make sure y'all check out Morgan, man. Like I said, pugilist, prognosticator.
You know it.
He's definitely you know, one of the best followers on Twitter. Also very funny dude. Follow his blog, buymorgancampbell.com. I have a link to it. The star.com/business/sportonomics.html. Make sure you follow that too. See what he's doing, man. Check out the videos, dog. This is a man who's willing to get choked out for what he believes in to promote whatever he has to promote, man. This
Forgot
is a dude
about that.
That is about that life. And yes. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram, Morgan P. Campbell. We'll be back next week. I'm assuming it'll be a slower week, which means, we'll probably have sillier, ridiculous, more stories to cover, next week.
And let's give a shout out to our, to my light skinned brethren, but you know, a fellow, he's been on the show.
LB?
Leonard Brothers, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Leonard
happy
Brothers.
Happy birthday, Leonard Brothers.
They're always shouting out people throughout the podcast community. But I still crack in the podcast community. And, you're always helping them out, bruh. So, we'll be back next week. Peace out.